Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
I got a judge that's just aching to throw me in jail. I got no money, a dress code problem, not to mention your biological clock. Is there any more we could pile on to the top of the outcome of this case? Is it possible?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
All right, knock it off. You know, you ragging on me is not going to give me any great spontaneous knowledge.
Paul Perillo.
You just keep on asking about Chinese food. Can't you tell they don't have Chinese restaurants around here? Gotta let everybody know you're a tourist.
And Andy. And Andy?
Everything that guy just said is bullshit. Thank you.
Andy Hart.
Let me see. This is a tough decision you give me here. Get my ass kicked to collect $200. What do you think? I could use a good ass kick, and I'll be very honest with you.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
You stick out like a sore thumb around here.
Me? What about you?
I fit in better than you. At least I'm wearing cowboy boots.
Oh, yeah, you blend.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Imagine you're a deer. You're prancing along, you get thirsty, you spot a little brook, you put your little deer lips down to the cool, clear water.
Bam! A bullet rips off part of your head. Your brains are laying on the ground in little bloody pieces. Now I ask you, would you give a what kind of pants a son of a who shot you was wearing?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang's all here, and it is a very, very busy post-draft show today. Right off the top, we're going to have Adam Schefter here in about, what, 6-7 minutes. Doctor's going to get him on the phone. Then at around 1 o'clock, one of the newest Patriots, Tyrone McKenzie, will be joining us on the phone. He won't be in studio yet. He's not here yet. But he'll be calling in at around 1 o'clock, and we'll get to talk to hopefully one of the Patriots' new linebackers for the 2009 season.
And a guy that I think has a legitimate chance to be in the mix from day one. One of the two or three rookies that I think could contribute out of
training. I was actually looking at some film of Tyrone this morning.
What'd you think?
Well, we'll get into that. But anyway, Andy's here, Eric's here, Paul's here, Doctor's in the booth. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. However,
don't call. We'll be using the line.
Yeah, hold up on the calls until after Adam Schefter anyway. We're going to talk to him and see what he's up to these days and what he thought about the draft, big winners, losers, surprises, so on and so forth. So that's all coming up. But guys, we've had a little bit of time to decompress from 6 hours on the web on Saturday and Sunday. What do you think about what the Patriots did this weekend?
Fred, I actually just thought about this while in my office, you know, the stall, and I've come up with a scale. If you tell me that they're going to acquire an elite pass rusher named Peppers or Taylor, whatever, I really like the draft.
It's a home run.
If you tell me that Bill has a lot of confidence in either Pierre Woods or Sean Crable to step in, be a starter, be an impact player at outside linebacker, I like the draft because I trust Bill. But if you tell me he sees what I see in those two guys, which is questions, not sure, I don't like the draft as much. Downgrades it.
I think that's a pretty fair assessment.
The follow-up question to you then is who in the draft would you have gotten to make it a good draft?
Larry English or Everett Brown. Okay. You know, I know English went off the board early, but you could have traded up if you wanted to get him. Everett Brown was on the board, but it's clear Bill said this. The height thing.
There's English right now as we speak.
There were not enough tall outside linebacker pass rushers. The speed height combo wasn't there.
Same speed, you know, 6'4" guys with 4.6 speed.
But there aren't a lot of those in the world.
There aren't a lot of those in the world, and it makes me wonder if Bill had had a chance to draft Dwight Freeney, would he have done so?
Or
Dalis Thomas, would he have done so?
And he drafted Telly Manticane. Those are the 6'2" guys or under. Pass rushers on this roster, or in Freeney's case, an elite guy.
Right.
Or James Harrison.
Okay, well, that's a good synopsis. Eric, what do you think?
Well, because I agree with him, with Andy, as far as taking that pass rusher with the first pick. Obviously, we said it all day that day. I would have loved to have gotten Everett Brown. But even if we had done that, we still would have had a chance to get either Ray Maoluga and or Darius Butler, the way things worked out, because they were available, and we traded up to 40 and 40. You know, so we had the back-to-back picks at 40 and 41. We could have gotten three big-name contributing players. I think that would have increased the number to about three of players we thought could have contributed immediately to the team.
But Maoluga doesn't answer your question, though, as far as a pass rusher.
No. I'm saying we get the pass rusher
first.
Pass rusher
and then Maoluga. Right.
If you get the pass rusher at 23, you still could have gotten Maoluga for the inside and Darius Butler for the corner.
Well, one of Bill's edicts for this draft was to get faster on defense.
Right.
And I think he did that, you know, in picking up Butler and in picking
Chung.
In Chung.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that was kind of taken care of.
I mean, I don't know the numbers, but my guess is you get faster with Maoluga over Brewski.
Absolutely.
He's not a Mayo athlete.
Drafting Maoluga would have made you faster too. Right. But I think that they feel like Tyrone McKenzie is going to make them faster.
And
I think that's a younger, faster player.
And headier and a different guy upstairs exactly. and in the
I'm
chest.
I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on the guy, but I bet you anything that they think either as much or close of McKenzie as they did of Maoluga.
And you
otherwise, they would have taken.
And you have to wonder what they're thinking now of guys like Gary Guyton.
Right.
You know, maybe he's as good as...
Or Eric Alexander. Mm-hmm. He's still here.
You know.
Yeah, so I really like what they did at the top. I like Chung. He wasn't my favorite safety in the draft, but I did like him.
Yeah, mine either.
I liked William Moore from Missouri a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But they, you know, I think that Bill's explanation on Saturday about how smart a player Chung was and how sophisticated the defense Oregon ran there. We talked about it on PFW in Progress over the weekend. That made a lot of sense to me. That was a very good explanation as to why they liked Chung, you know, as much as they did. And Butler, we all loved.
Oh, yeah.
We all thought the athleticism was off the charts. I love the Ron Brace pick, both for insurance down the road or for a guy who can step in immediately and serve as a quality backup at nose tackle, not a guy you're fitting into a backup nose tackle.
Right.
And right on down. The only pick, really, that I scratched my head about the whole weekend was Vollmer.
Yeah.
And I am sold on the
Everybody's
way these guys are talking
him.
About him
right.
as being a guy that was very underrated, one of the most under-the-radar guys in the entire draft, best tackle that no one was talking about. Blah, blah. Here's where I'm going to go with your theory, Fred.
Yeah.
When they do something, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt off their track record. Generally, when they see a guy as being drafted a little bit earlier than he should have been, they're usually right.
A la Matthew Slater last year.
Well, that's one I think they were wrong on. But, you know, this one, I think I'm going to fall back on their general track record. When they take a guy that a lot of the so-called draft gurus think is a round or two too early, more often than not, the Patriots have been right.
Rick Goslin had Vollmer as his 76th best player in the draft, the best player not invited to the NFL Combine.
Wow.
That said, Nolan Naraki says there were teams that did not have Vollmer on their draft boards because of his history with back problems. They had him deemed undraftable.
Well, after his surgery in 06, he didn't miss a game.
Right.
You know, so that's good news.
I'm just saying there were opinions that were, and I mean, you're talking about professionals.
Yeah.
Medical people for other teams said
back problems
don't draft him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's both sides.
If there's one thing I will say, I watched tape of the top four guys this morning. Vollmer looked a little stiff from the waist up. He did look that way. But what I did see is he has really, really good footwork for a guy his size. And I watched the practices from the East-West Shrine game, and he looked excellent at no matter if the guy wanted to go inside, wanted to spin on the outside, wanted to just speed on the – he either used his strength to just push him out or he just swallowed him up when he tried to get inside and roll off of him.
He's boom or bust.
He's,
if the back flares up, he could
be
an issue.
I'll say his footwork, he's got the strength that you need and very impressive footwork.
And he's raw.
Yeah.
Because he's a developmental guy that comes from Germany, didn't play football till 15 or whatever. He's raw. And, you know, if you hit the upside, you could have a starting right tackle.
All right. So Doctor's holding up a sign right now that tells me that on the line right now is Adam Schefter. Adam, welcome to the show.
Hello, guys.
How you doing? Adam, you're talking with Fred Kirsch, Andy Hart, Eric Scalavino, and Paul Perillo. It's a full crew today.
Nice to be with you guys.
Now, how do I introduce you these days? Is it okay to ask that question?
a loaded question. I think maybe the best way to introduce me is just as NFL Insider, Adam Schefter.
NFL Insider, right. Okay.
Well, if that's the case then, Adam, I don't know if you remember, I took a shot last offseason trying to get you to write for us.
Yep.
For Patriots Football Weekly, and you know your past ties prevented you from doing so. So as just an NFL Insider, the offer still stands.
Yes, but I'm still under contract.
Okay.
Oh,
all right.
Okay.
Till mid-August. So obviously my whole situation is in limbo. Like I said, it was a loaded question when you asked it.
Well, I figured that's why I'd ask.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Adam, let's then just talk about football and not Adam Schefter. What did you think about the weekend? I know you're not one of the draft guys, but from you know the team perspective, talking to general managers, who did what? You know, who were your big winners, losers, and maybe a surprise from the weekend?
Well, number one, I thought that I really liked what the Cincinnati Bengals did. I know it sounds kind of crazy, but Andre Smith was projected at one point as the potential number one overall pick. They get him, Ray Malaluga. I know there's questions about him, but the Washington Redskins would have taken him at number 13 if Brian Arakpo was gone. So they get Andre Smith later than they should have. They get Ray Malaluga later than he should have gone. They get Michael Johnson in the third round. They get Chase Kaufman, a tight end from Missouri that I like a lot. I just like the players that the Bengals drafted. I thought they did very, very well for themselves. I think that the Jets made a great move in getting Mark Sanchez. It cost them basically a second-round draft choice and some other players. So I thought that, that was a modest sum to have to give up for a player like Mark Sanchez. I liked what they did. I like what the Philadelphia Eagles did. They just sat where they were and let players fall to them in Jeremy Maclin in the first round and LeSean McCoy in the second round. And I always think that the Patriots are the best in the league at manipulating the draft, moving back, gathering extra picks, and to come out of this draft with two extra twos for next year's draft is typical Patriot draft-styled philosophy. I mean, they're just incredible at the way they work the draft.
Adam, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you what you thought about the Raiders draft. I know you've had some back and forths with that organization over the years, mm-hmm. and looks like they had a couple head scratchers early in the draft.
Well, you know, let me say this: that this is the point that I will make on the Raiders. Now, everybody knew they were going to take a wide receiver, and a lot of people speculated that it would be Darius Heyward-Bey. Let me ask you this question: if the New York Giants, as had rumored, traded up to say 17 and drafted Darius Heyward-Bey, would everybody have saluted that move and applauded the Giants for going up to get a big-time receiver?
Probably.
It's the question we ask all the time.
Would they have done that? Yeah, we're in agreement they would have, right?
One disclaimer. Was Michael Crabtree and Jeremy Maclin available at 17?
Because
I wouldn't have been applauding the move if that's what they did.
That's the point, okay? And the Raiders picked Heyward-Bey ahead of those other two guys. Now, I think Crabtree might have been the best player in this draft.
I agree.
Okay, I think Maclin is a dynamic playmaker. And the fact they took this receiver ahead of those two guys, that's a bit unusual, particularly when you consider that Heyward-Bey drops the number of passes that he does. But if he works out, good for them. It's a bit of a stretch, a bit of a gamble. But I hate to render absolute final judgments on anybody's draft until we see the players play for a year or two. It's just hard to do that. I don't like passing up those two guys, and I think that one of the worst things that happened for the Raiders that day, personally, was letting Michael Crabtree go to San Francisco, which was predictable once they passed on him. And now, for the remainder of their time together in the Bay Area, right. Darius Heyward-Bey, whether he likes it or not, will always be compared to Michael Crabtree.
Just a quick follow-up on the Raiders. Is it as simple as Al Davis is still calling the shots and Al Davis loves 40 times?
Al Davis will always call the shots as long as he's in charge there. And Al Davis does love 40 times, and he will always go for the biggest, tallest, fastest player that he can find. He did it again this draft, and he'll do it again next draft.
Adam, you mentioned the Philadelphia Eagles earlier and letting players fall to them. It was interesting that the Patriots made some news as well by trading
mm-hmm.
with the Philadelphia Eagles. And in his press conference at the end of the day, Coach Belichick said that was sort of something they didn't really anticipate happening when they went into the weekend. And nobody really followed up with him on that. I was just wondering about your thoughts on that trade in general and also whether or not you know of how that trade came about, whether Philadelphia initiated the talks or what.
Well, it's a good question, and it surprised me some when it came down. And I thought that Philadelphia's loaded a cornerback, but again, you're in a situation there where Sheldon Brown would like out. I don't know that they're going to accommodate him. I don't think that they're going to accommodate him, but Philadelphia plays in a division where they feel like it's important to have a lot of cornerbacks. Every team feels like it's important to have a lot of cornerbacks. New England is stocked up on a lot of young cornerbacks, and the Patriots feel as if it's time to basically go with some youth here, and that's what they think at this time right now. And so that was their thinking, I think, when they traded Hobbs, because they have so many young cornerbacks available that they feel like they can make that move and get rid of a veteran as long as they have some of these young guys in place.
Hey, Adam, can I ask you a question from a league-wide perspective? We see Ellis Hobbs game in and game out. And,
dynamic return man, by the way.
And, yep. Right. Now, and cornerbacks are always under the microscope. We see all the bad plays as well. And, you know, fans here have always kind of been on Ellis Hobbs. From a league-wide, what's the impression other teams have of Ellis Hobbs?
Well, you know, I think the Patriots have always, in the past, to me, they've gotten by with makeshift corners. It seems like they've pulled guys off the street. That's just the way that I think of the Patriots. I see Hank Poteet signing week 13 and coming in and starting games and being effective. And I always get the sense in that defense with Bill Belichick that anybody that plays out there is going to be able to get the job done for that. That's just the way that I feel about it. And I think that people look at Ellis Hobbs and they probably think he's probably a product of the system and the success that the Patriot cornerbacks have. Now, I think it's undeniable to look at his return game. You know, that is not the Patriot way, so to speak. But what he's done as a cornerback, I think a lot of cornerbacks have come in and had some success for New England.
I want to talk to you, Adam, a little bit about the crop of pass rushers in this draft, whether they be defensive ends, you know, out of 4-3s or the hybrid kind of guys that projected to go to outside linebacker. We all felt that was probably the biggest need coming in, and I think Bill felt that while deep, maybe there weren't a lot of really tall guys that fit, you know, the strict size that the Patriots are looking for. What, you know, did you get that impression?
Well, you know, here's the impression that I got. I got the impression that they were not enamored with where they were in the draft at 23, and they felt like the best value was to move out of that spot and to keep moving back. We saw it. We saw what they did. I just felt like they didn't feel like there was a player there, 23 in particular, that could step in and help them. I think later on there were some other pass rushers that might have interested them that went off the board. The timing just didn't work out for them in this draft for those kind of pass rushers. It just didn't. And I don't think it was a great draft, period. I think next year is going to be a great draft. And maybe next year when they're loaded and armed to bear, as usual, with those extra twos,
yeah,
they'll find the pass rusher that they need, particularly with all the defensive linemen that they have heading into the last year of their contract.
With no selection at outside linebacker pass rusher, that left fans around here wondering, is there a veteran move on the horizon? What are you hearing in regards to both Julius Peppers and Jason Taylor at this point potentially becoming Patriots?
Well, Jason Taylor is definitely an option. I don't see Julius Peppers being an option at all. I've said that before. I'll say it again. It's no disrespect to anybody that has forecasted Julius Peppers to wind up in New England, but I just believe at the end of the day that Julius Peppers will be back in Carolina this season. That's where he will be. Now, Jason Taylor, to me, was considering Miami and was considering New England. And if you look at this draft and the way it went for the Patriots, Jason Taylor might be a nice addition to this Patriot lineup to generate some additional pass rush. They obviously are very familiar with his level of play and his talent, so I think he might be a guy that can help them this season.
Adam, the outside backer for the Seattle Seahawks that just had his...
Leroy Hill.
I don't know much about him. Do you think he would fit in with the Patriots?
Well, look, he was good enough that at one point they decided that he was worthy of a franchise tag. So somebody like that, to me, if you take a good defensive player, I think I have enough faith in organization, the Patriot organization, that most players are going to be able to fit in there and make plays. And that's somebody I'm sure that the Patriots will look at. He's an unrestricted free agent now. Now that he's had his franchise tag pulled, I would be surprised if he went back to Seattle. So I think it will be onward for Leroy Hill, and maybe New England is a possible stop.
All right, a couple more questions, Adam. I hear it's feeding time over there.
Yeah, baby's getting a little anxious here.
Right, right. Yeah, how did you find out where I lived? Because that sounds awfully familiar. But
yeah.
I wanted to ask you about the Matt Castle situation and his contract situation, if you'd heard anything on that. Some people are saying he has signed. Peter King is, and others have said he hasn't. What are you hearing?
Well, again, reading between the lines, I would tell you that there's probably talks. They're probably going on. Maybe there are people some people who are premature. Eventually, I think he'll get signed. And whenever there's a story like that, sometimes people just flat whiff. And maybe that's the case here, but my guess would be that eventually a deal gets done. It's just not done yet.
Adam, both literally and figuratively, Vince Wilfork is probably the biggest story for the Patriots moving forward. What's his value going to be should he reach the open market? Is he a guy that could get an Albert Haynesworth-type contract?
Well, how many? I don't know off the top of my head. How many guys? What is Vince Wilfork right now, 29, 30 years old?
Not even.
28,
not even.
I believe.
Yeah.
28. Wow. I don't know that he gets an Albert Haynesworth-type contract, but I don't think he gets far from it. If the market on Albert Haynesworth, you know, is $41 million in guaranteed money, Vince Wilfork's going to get a lot of money. He's going to get a lot of money because teams in this league need defensive tackles. You're talking about it being an uncapped year. Washington would not be in that market, so you'd lose one of the big spenders. Dallas would be, I would think, in the market, though they have to get DeMarcus Ware signed. I don't know. Listen, there's always going to be a team that needs a defensive tackle. I could think of one in Denver with a former coach there in New England. I'm sure that would be very happy to get Vince Wilfork to help plug the Broncos' defensive line. That's the team right away that comes to mind. How about Scott Pioli with the Chiefs, them having to rebuild their defensive line and Glenn Dorsey not having worked out last year and them going to a 3-4, maybe they view Vince Wilfork as being the guy that would be ideal for them. I don't think there would be a shortage of suitors. It's just a question of what the price would be.
All right, Adam. Well, we appreciate you coming on. And anytime you do have an announcement as to what you're doing, feel free to make it on this show.
Well, you know what? I can tell you this. I will be back on the air. I will be back on the air no later than this summer. And I'm waiting to hear any day now as to whether or not it'll be earlier. So we'll see what happens. And whatever it is, you know what? It was great to have the time that I did at the NFL Network. I really enjoyed working there.
Well, you did a great job. I'll say that.
Thank you very much.
All right, Adam Schefter, thanks for joining us.
You got it, guys. Have a great one.
All right, that was Adam Schefter of To Be Determined, and we'll be right back with PFW in Progress.
In your business, you know the receptionist, the bookkeeper, the head of human resources, the marketing director, the head of sales, the director of transportation, the janitor, the building superintendent, and the CEO. Because they're all you. This is America. There's no shortage of entrepreneurial spirit around here, just a shortage of time for small businesses to nurture it. Bank of America helps you save time with easier bookkeeping through online banking and online reports, with accounts that charge no monthly maintenance fee for checking when you make purchases monthly with your Visa Business Check Card, and with easy access to account information and protection against unauthorized transactions. Want to have a bank that knows small business? You can with Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity. To apply, come by or click bankofamerica.com/your business.
We waive the monthly maintenance fee on a business economy checking account for each statement period in the month following a qualifying point of sale Bank of America Visa Business Check Card purchase. Ask an associate for details. Copyright 2009 Bank of America Corporation NA, member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy. And the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
Want to be part of the most raucous experience in New England sports? You'll find it in the Fort, the diehard supporters section at Gillette Stadium that cheer on the New England Revolution. Be a part of the excitement all season long with the Supporters Season Ticket Package. You'll get tickets behind the goal for the entire regular season, plus admission to 5 soccer special events and much more. You'll stand, chant, and sing as you defend the fort for the full 90 minutes. Get your tickets today. Only limited quantities of hardcore supporter seat packages are available at the low price of $200. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution. So grab your scarf, warm up your vocal cords, and get ready for the wildest time in New England sports. The New England
Revolution!
It's time to defend the fort!
Here's what PFW in Progress would sound like if we had a bleep button.
Can you read some of the tweets?
What?
why is it that you almost never... unbelievable.
Oh,
you're an embarrassment.
Please, I didn't say that.
Just go.
I didn't say that.
Come on, guys. You know you can't say on Patriots.com radio, and you call yourselves professionals.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, you just came off an interview with Adam Schefter.
And now, I didn't say a bad word once.
NFL Insider.
Now, was that, Doctor, was that Saturday's clip or Sunday's clip?
Well, was Saturday. It an A or
oh,
O?
Okay, because Andy, you know, Andy said it twice.
No, one was an A, one was an O that I inserted. They both sound the same.
Sure.
Though.
Sure you did.
All right. Well, the email address is webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Before Adam called in, we were talking about some of the top picks, and we were talking about Vollmer.
Yep.
I liked what I saw from that East-West Shrine Game practice. Now, that's a small snippet of his career so far, but he did show
a key one
against some pretty quick.
That's why he rose.
Yeah,
that was as important as anything he did.
Against some pretty quick rushers that he had the footwork to stay with him.
That was a big factor in him going from truly unknown to sleeper prospect in the first day.
The other guys, I saw Chung. What obviously big hitter, aggressive, you know, has the swagger. I don't like the way he tackles. I think in the NFL, you're going to get in trouble if you don't wrap up.
He's one of those shoulder guys.
Yeah.
Throws the shoulder.
Especially if you're looking for him to replace James Sanders, the surest tackler on your team.
So
Andy's right about that.
So that's the
two
first,
bad tacklers at safety? That doesn't exactly sound like feeling good to me.
That's the first thing I want to do with this guy when I get here is to make sure that he understands we're looking for sound fundamentals.
Well, they haven't gotten that through to Brandon Merriweather yet.
What did you think about his return skills? Did you see any film on that?
Yes, I did. He returned both kicks and punts, and he looked like, you know, he's the real deal there.
Yeah, see, I think Butler's the guy to keep an eye on for that.
I agree.
Yeah,
well, Butler, I mean, Tate's really the guy. But,
well, no, yeah. Tate, yeah. I'm glad you brought him up because I think that's I'm biased because I just got finished talking to the coach. But
it's funny how that works.
Yeah.
I think they move him up three draft rounds.
I loved that pick when they made it. I think it's a steal now.
Yeah.
Because of the return ability, quite frankly. I think that he is NFL ready. You know, talking to Charlie Williams, who's his receivers coach at UNC, NFL ready to return kicks. Yeah. Now, I don't know when that's going to happen because I don't know when the knee's going to be
ready.
And
he's got great hands. He's a great receiver, too.
He's a good receiver.
He's
a good receiver.
The thing is, he has
great hands, but he's only been a marginal receiver at North Carolina.
The thing is, you know, a lot of guys, when they get a knee injury, they're not quite the same when they come back. So will he be as dangerous a return guy coming off of this injury?
Do we know where he is in that process?
He only got hurt in October, so he's only, you know,
November,
he's
December,
well behind.
November, January, February, March, April. He's six.
Well, when did he have the surgery?
Early November, I believe.
November. Early November.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's essentially 6 months into the process.
So he's behind Tom Brady.
Right. By like a month or so.
But he's behind Tom Brady even more because he makes his living with speed cutting. Right. Even if you're just going to return kicks and no receiver.
He needs to be quick.
He needs to be at full athleticism.
And he's a rookie, too.
Right.
Well,
so,
yeah.
You know, that's a big part of it. I mean, he's going to, at the minimum, he's going to miss out on some developmental time here in the summer.
Now, maybe Bill had that. And, you know, we talked about Hobbs giving up the kick return ability that Schefter was the first thing he thought of. Maybe he has in his mind, okay, I committee it, patchwork it for a year, and this guy's elite next year.
And let's give credit where it's due. One of our alert listeners brought that up during the show on Sunday about all the, you know, when they traded Hobbs, and we talked about the only thing we missed was the kick return ability. A lot of guys that they drafted at least had experience doing it at the college level. I wasn't in love with Chung's ability in that regard, but I was with Butler and certainly with Tate.
Now with Butler, what I saw was, like you guys said, incredible athleticism. He actually ran the ball a little bit. He caught a couple passes at Connecticut. You know, he played both sides of the ball at times. I didn't get to see a lot of highlights of him actually making plays in the passing game. I saw him drop
it. He didn't this year.
Yeah, I saw him drop an interception. I saw an incomplete pass downfield that was overthrown where he had terrible position. He was the guy on the sideline, and the receiver had inside position, and if the ball was thrown a little bit more accurately, he would have got burned. So I'm not sure about his coverage, capability, but he is an amazing athlete.
Good starting point.
When he ran with the ball, he had the same type of stride that you see in Reggie Bush. He's got that kind of long stride for
dynamic with the ball in his hands. It was amazing how electric he was. And you have another guy like that with Tate, like Andy talked about, with the kick and punt returns. I like that aspect. I like the element of getting special athletes that can do things that you can find ways to get the ball in their hands. And, look, Asante Samuel was that kind of guy. It was, an average corner when you just looked at him in terms of his coverage. And then all of a sudden, he would make some plays in the ball, and he would get the ball in his hands, and before you knew it, he was in the end zone.
I was going to say, when he's striding down the sideline, getting to the 20, the 10, and the 5, he looks more than average.
Well, the thing with Samuel is he kept getting better. Every year he learned more, and his instincts got better and better and better. And he wasn't the fastest guy out there, but his instincts made up for it.
And he worked
like
at
Ty
it.
Law.
Everybody said he worked at it. He watched the film. He put in the time required, despite the misconceptions about get paid and all that. He did the work that it took to get there. The one thing I'll say about Butler is he comes from a defense under Randy Edsall. It's Randy Edsall, right?
Yeah. Yep.
That is a pro style. He's getting pro type coaching. We all know how much Bill praised Muschamp last year working with Will Hite, having him a little bit more pro ready. My guess is you'll see those types of things from Butler, that he's not as raw maybe as some cornerbacks would be coming into the league.
And even if he does need a little extra time to develop, to become that type of player, you've signed some players via free agency, and you have a couple of young guys who have a year under their belt already, so it's not like you're completely expecting him to come in and automatically pencil him in as a starter. He has time to get up to that level without maybe going through some of the rough patches that rookies go through.
Let's include Will Hite. I mean, Wheatley, by the way, if he's healthy, he was a very, very
That's
good
what I'm talking
college,
about.
No, returner. He was a very good kick returner.
Absolutely.
So I don't know what their thoughts are on his injuries and his history and extra work, whatever, but in terms of athleticism, he could be very much in the mix to win a return job.
Now, Brace was a second-round pick as well. What I saw of him, he does have that same type of lean that you're looking for in a nose tackle where, Will Fork will just get up and get into his guy and, play that zero technique or whatever you want to call it and just,
I like when Fred breaks it.
Yeah, and just kind of look at the play, recognize it, and then work off his man, but really occupy that space. And Brace kind of did the same thing at Boston College. He has that same type of lean where he's moving forward with his weight and has the guy kind of on his heels, and that way that gives him the ability to either go left or right depending on which way he has to go. And, he looked like he has that ability. And very quick off the snap.
The thing that worries me a little bit about him is that he was playing alongside another top 10 pick. And if he were to come here and let's say he were to replace Will Fork, even if it's just to spell him on a few downs, he's going to have to do that all on his own.
Yep.
And he's not going to have that kind of help next to him.
Well, he will. He'll have, Seymour and Warren,
maybe.
We hope.
Yeah, maybe Warren and Wright.
Right. So,
he's going to have some help. He's not going to be on an island. But what I was looking for is, when he was engaged with a man, who was kind of in control? And he looked like he's in control.
He's a true nose tackle.
That's what you want your nose tackle to be, is in control. You don't want him being pushed. You want him doing the pushing,
We talked about the, Butler not necessarily having to jump right in there and be a starter. And I think that will help Brandon Tate as a receiver, too, because they don't even if you look ahead till next year, if you can't get him on the field this year, they're not going to be asking him to do much as a receiver initially.
Right, he could be a four next year.
He could be a guy that could sit, sit around and then kind of work his way in. They're still going to have Moss and Welker next year. So, hopefully he's able to learn, maybe how he can contribute and his role on the team. And, he according to his coach, he's going to need to refine his route running a little bit, his techniques, but he has the abilities to do that, and he has the luxury of not having to be thrown right in like so many wide receivers that fail initially have to do before they kind of learn the NFL ropes.
Freddie, just a side note on your Leroy Hill question.
Right.
I looked it up because I don't know much about him, but 6'1", 238 pounds, not a Patriot.
Too small.
Certainly not an outside guy.
Can't play outside.
And his answer as a pass rusher, 4 years in the league, 13 sacks.
Yeah.
So okay. and looking for money because right. this was an ass PFW. Wouldn't maybe he'd be a cheaper, better option for pass rush than Thomas, than Taylor or Peppers? I don't think he'll be cheaper. He was no. he was franchised, so he's in a certain tier as a linebacker, but it's as a
but
Tampa 2
like
with Tampa
2 linebacker. Like we franchised to Bucky Jones.
Yeah, and he signed a deal with New Orleans.
But
that
what
was
I'm
more
saying is,
the
Bucky
Jason
Jones
Taylor.
Was, you would say, oh, he was franchised. He's
and he got franchise money
franchise
from New
money
Orleans.
From
he
New
just
Orleans.
Wasn't a franchise player.
But that's what I'm talking about as far as quality of player.
I don't think he's a franchise player, but he's going to be looking for franchise money just like Tabucky
right,
was.
Yeah. And Tabucky got it.
And my guess is
New
he'll
Orleans.
Get it from Detroit or Tampa or some team that
somebody
he fits
that,
in better.
Some true 4-3
I think he's
team.
A pretty good linebacker, but he's not a Patriot on any level, especially after Bill passed up
right.
Larry English and Everett Brown and all these guys that were 6'2 and change. He's 6'1, 238.
He'd
even
have,
if he signed
to be
here,
an inside
he'd
guy
play
here.
Inside, and I don't think that'll happen.
Aaron in Port Jervis, New York says, that's great. Fred watched video of the top four guys this morning. It's much better to do your pre-draft work after the draft. What are you laughing about?
That's a good email.
I'm the boss. Need the info.
Quick update.
Well, I mean, what the hell? I didn't know they were going to draft Ron Brace, you know?
Quick update for Patriots fans. Favorite senator, Arlen Specter, is switching teams. Mm. Not to Eric's. He's going to the Democratic Party.
He's in a fight for his life
well, kind of
as does. Far as the election coming up. And he knows that his constituency.
But he can't have any fans. If he's switching parties, everybody hates him everywhere.
Well, the thing is, he was already fighting a primary battle.
Right.
He was probably not. He might not have won the primary.
That's right.
So I think this is a preemptive move to make sure he's on the ticket in November.
This is a strategic move for him.
Yeah. That's like Richard Seymour saying, I'm going to go to the Lions. They suck. At least I'll be good on their team or something. I'll be the best player.
I mean,
are you playing to win the game?
Well,
are you the best?
But now he's in the majority. He's in the majority party now when he does this. And so maybe a lot of the
stuff. If he wins.
I don't want to digress into politics.
No, I mean, from now until.
We don't have time for that.
From now until the election, you will be.
We've got Tyrone McKenzie coming up at 1 o'clock. So
I
just want to remind everyone.
Well, I didn't know who they were going to draft Ron Brace. Well, you know, we didn't know. That's why we watched the 200 guys that we watched.
And that's why.
I had the luxury
Ron
of
Brace
knowing which
Patriot.
Well,
but if you're
going to
spend time watching if you have limited time like myself, and you're going to spend time pre-draft watching guys, you're not focusing on, you know, nose tackles. I'm sorry, you know.
Freddie, we hit on a few. Butler, McKenzie, Brace, we all mentioned as potential Patriots.
Well, I loved Butler. Well, we all loved Butler. Mm. You guys, Eric and Andy, really loved Tyrone McKenzie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
who
they
else?
Talked about him at length.
Do we have any others?
Even though Eric somehow
we did not hit
him.
On George Busey, Jake Ingram,
no.
Myron Pryor. I liked 2 years ago watching tape.
I want to throw one
Julian
thing out
Edelman
there,
didn't like. Never saw him before in my
the,
life.
The fourth round pick, the lineman out of Penn State, Ornberger.
Richie.
Yeah. Rich Ornberger.
Yeah.
I asked someone. I'll just say someone, not Bill Belichick. Okay, not anybody. You know, in the decision making process, I don't want to overstate it. Give me a guy that's going to surprise us that we took this weekend that we don't. You know, obviously we think. We have pretty good players with Chung and Butler. Give me a guy that we don't know about that's going to be a good player. And without hesitation, it was Ornberger.
What's he going to do?
Rich Ornberger. Thinks he could be a starter in this league.
Yeah,
but as what?
Guard. Starting guard over Stephen Neal, maybe when Neal leaves.
Hmm.
Which
or gets hurt.
Could be next year.
Barely 290? Isn't that a little light?
I'm just telling you what.
Well, Neal's not huge.
What I asked you.
He's barely 300, isn't he? I think
Neal's like 315.
Really?
I'll go to the videotape.
I thought he was lighter than that.
And he's big. Well, I don't care what he weighs in at. When I stand in front of him, I say he's a big man.
He's a grappler.
Because he's broad across the shoulders. He's built.
Yeah, he's a
6'4", 305.
And, you know,
305.
Patriots don't announce it until later this week, but there's already reports coming out about rookie free agents that they're signing. We signed another grappler.
It looks like we've signed another college wrestler who didn't play football.
Never played football.
Right.
No.
He's
ever.
You know,
ever?
So
ever,
Bill
ever,
can
ever?
Reset his whole, I mean, what's his name?
Is
it Painter or something? Planer?
I think it's Jermail.
On the pads.
Something.
Jermail, I can't remember his
Kent
last
State
name.
Kent State, too, right?
Yes.
Same as the other guy.
Akron Beacon Journal had a story about that.
I mean, he didn't even know how to snap his pads on. I mean, he was raw.
Really?
I think he's got no chance.
Okay. On the phone right now is Big Al from Georgia. Big Al, how you doing?
Good afternoon, boys.
The voice of NFL
the big voice.
You should look into that.
I'm already looking forward, fellas, to next year's
next
draft.
Year's draft.
So's Bill.
Wow,
he started halfway through the first round on this weekend.
Well, presumably, if the trend continues next year, fellas, we will have 13 sixth and seventh round draft picks.
Yep.
Because you know you can get a lot of value back there.
Oh yeah,
we've already got three
second
rounders.
Why spend a lot of money on somebody in the first round?
Do I take it that you're a little disappointed?
Yeah, and you know you can. But look, I've been singing the same song every year. So I mean, no linebackers, no line. You know, other than last year, we finally, I guess, out of shame and embarrassment, decided to take a kid that plays that position, and it seemed like it turned out pretty well. AFC Defensive Rookie of the Year, but you know, basically since Ted Johnson left after the 04 season. Now, that was after the draft, so you got to give him a pass there. They didn't know until before camp of 05 that he was going to retire. So, you got to take that into account. And I think Willie McGinnis left the next year. So going to the 05 draft, we really didn't have any excuses. I mean, it was time to get younger at linebacker back then, and we didn't do it. And 06 season comes along. We managed to make it to the AFC Championship game, admittedly by luck. Troy Brown makes a great play. We make it to the AFC Championship game. We got to start Eric Alexander because we're so thin at linebacker. Then we decide to overcompensate. We spend a gajillion dollars on Adalius Thomas. I love Adalius Thomas, but why not draft somebody? We got to bring in Junior Seau and Roosevelt Coleman, two fine people, but we cut them both. They weren't supposed to be on the team last year. And we've lost Vrabel as well now, and I just don't know how you let these four kids go, Maluega, Everett Brown down here at Florida State, Laurinaitis, and the kid from Cincinnati. I don't know how you let all four of them go by. I mean, I like Brace. I like even the Vollmer kid from Houston. I think that's a good move. If he's got really good feet, maybe he gets over to left tackle. You move Matt Light. He's slowing down over to right tackle someday. But I just don't see how you let all four of those linebackers go. Maybe you can talk me down, but I don't get it.
Well, you're kind of muddying the water a little bit talking inside and outside guys, and depending on what you thought the target need was early in the draft, I think we all thought it was outside linebacker, pass rusher. And we said earlier, clearly Bill didn't love the height on these guys. They were under 6'4", or whatever he considers ideal in the range of 6'2". And I think the other thing is, it looks like from afar, he understands it's a very difficult transition to 3-4 outside edge rusher linebacker that a lot of guys aren't going to make, and he's going to wait to find out which guys make it and then sign them through free agency like a Colvin or a Vrabel or do it later rather than take a very risky selection late in the first round and hope the guy can make the transition. Yeah, it's not like he took DeMarcus Ware. He wasn't that high in the draft like where he got Mayo. So I think he feels it's a risky proposition taking the third best outside linebacker edge rusher and assuming he's going to make the transition.
You know, it'd be interesting.
But Andy, all four of those guys that I just mentioned were all available in the second round.
Right,
even allowing for the two trades that happened in the
two
first
of them are inside linebackers. So well, yeah, let's divide it up a little bit.
Laurinaitis got taken.
No, we need those two. How old is Teddy Bruschi?
Yeah, see, I'm fine with Tyrone McKenna.
I
might be sipping the Kool-Aid here, but I think they got a player that's every bit
too.
The equal. Maybe not the equal, but certainly comparable to Laurinaitis in Maluga. And I like both of those players.
Well, if that's right, Paul, then I back off.
Al, I could be guilty of sipping the Kool-Aid here, and it wouldn't be the first time, but I just think that their track record when it comes to personnel evaluations, they're not infallible the way some people make them out to be, but I think they're pretty good.
Plus, they often, it's following the path where we always talk about outside linebackers in college or inside linebackers here, defensive ends in college or outside linebackers here. McKenzie was an outside linebacker who slides in next to Mayo here.
Everybody was talking about Clay Matthews and Brian Cushing and guys that, you know, they could be outside linebackers. I don't really think they had much of a shot to play outside linebacker for Bill.
Well, it'd be just interesting if we could give Bill some truth serum and say, you know, at 23, if Larry English had fallen in your lap or the guy that Kansas City took, you know, would you have taken him? You know,
well, Tyson Jackson is a total position.
He's a defensive end.
Yeah.
But you don't think he could be outside?
No.
He would be Richard Seymour, not.
He'd be
Mike
more
Vrabel.
Apt to move to get bigger and move to nose tackle.
But boy,
did
his stock rise.
Yes.
Yeah.
My God.
But well, that's
as,
one of those individual kind of select.
Right. It's like Schefter said.
Yeah.
Maluga would have gone 13 to Washington had they not got Arakpo.
Sure.
So he went from 13 to 35 or 8.
Yeah. It's funny how that.
But it's funny how
really
he went.
How
he went from like, you know, late teens, early 20s to number 3. I mean, that's.
But maybe had he not gone there, he would have gone.
He might have gone down there. Yeah. Who knows? But.
Individual preference, especially in this draft that lacked elite talent.
Well, it's true enough that there could be other people that would come available over the summer. Certainly, I guess, the Cardinals could cut Monty Beisel. We'd get him back.
He's on the Chiefs. He went back to the Chiefs.
Yeah, well,
Pioli had to get him again.
I don't want to ruin your joke, though. That's good. I like that.
Maybe if the Chiefs cut him.
There's always great players that are going to be. I just don't. I mean, we've had such great luck with drafting linebackers. Bruschi, if I'm not mistaken, was drafted. Yeah, Ted Johnson was drafted.
Yes.
Mike Rabel's about the. He was not drafted. He was a free agent. And I'm nothing against Colvin and Thomas. I really don't. But I just feel like, we've had greater success with the kids that we've drafted at linebacker. That's and I just don't point. Understand mm-hmm. the. It's almost like we're going to break out in a rash, or it'll be allergic or something. We're going to have the bird flu if we draft a linebacker. It's incredible. Now, I like the. I do like the Brace pick. I like the Vollmer pick, like I said before, and Butler and Chung. I mean, I think that's where I'm saying. I think maybe one of those guys, but with the other pick, I think I would have gone with a linebacker. I don't know much about Chung. Maybe you can tell me something about him. But I guess Butler would be good as a returner, as well as helping out in the state. But we drafted a lot of defensive backs last year. We have, free agent defense. I mean, I just don't know why we needed to draft two defensive backs.
Because they weren't that good last year in that area. It's that simple.
They overhauled the position. I mean, they're all gone, starting over. You got a couple vets and three or four young guys.
Yeah, a bunch of guys are going to compete for the starting job.
Harrison's probably not going to be back.
Fred, Andy and I talked about it in like this. This is 3 years in a row now. In 06, the problem that we all identified as being significant was the wide receiver core. Yes, they got to the AFC Championship game with Rishay Caldwell as their number one receiver, but we all looked at it and said, this isn't good enough. Bill agreed in the offseason, complete overhaul, signed everybody, traded for everybody. Bam, that's no longer a problem. 07, the defense we didn't think was championship caliber in general. What happens? How many draft picks did they had last year? Eight out of nine or seven out of eight defense, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
This year, at or near the bottom of the league, not the AFC East or the league, 31st in red zone defense, 31st in touchdown passes allowed, 23rd, I think, in third down defense, bottom of the barrel secondary play.
When it was passing time.
Complete overhaul.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Sean Springs, Lee Bodden, Darius Butler, Patrick Chung, hopefully Terrence Wheatley, who really didn't play last year.
Right.
This is a complete overhaul. This is 3 years in a row. I think Bill has identified what he thought the biggest weakness was, and he has gone to great lengths to try to fix it.
But the problem is he's always said pass defense is pass rush and coverage,
right?
And he left part of that out. Right now, it feels like.
Well, that one spot
so far,
okay, yeah.
Well,
so
that's
far.
Why, kind so of a big far. Spot.
That's why I know. That's why I got to think Jason Taylor is part of the equation.
Here. I do too. But at whatever point I see Jason Taylor re-signs with Dolphins to close out career in Miami, I go, uh-oh. Mm.
Yeah,
what are we doing?
It's funny. Just talking to Mike Reese too a little while ago. He seems to think Miami. Miami didn't take a guy either.
Right.
Didn't take one of those guys either. So he thinks that's opening the door for him to go back to the Dolphins.
Well, it'll be interesting.
Miami is Joey Porter.
It'll be interesting to see as part of that equation, Andy, if they don't solve that pass rush end of it with a veteran before the season gets here, how much the pass coverage is going to have to help out the pass rush this year.
And he certainly would like to be in Jason Taylor's position right now. I think he's in a very good position.
Makes it easier.
He's not going to have to go to camp.
Right.
He can name his own price.
Well, he's going to have to go to camp.
Training camp, but not mini camp.
Right.
I think
second week of August, he'll say, I'm ready.
See, I actually think around June, he'll sign somewhere.
He'll take as long as he wants. It may not be until
hopefully
August.
Hopefully, it's not back with the Dolphins.
Yeah.
That would be sort of like, I guess, Arlen Specter switching parties.
I mean, this could be Brian Cox or Roman Pfeiffer. It could be, second week in the training camp.
I don't have a problem with Arlen Specter switching parties. I think it's a good move by Arlen Specter, very smart man. But
apparently you're a Democrat?
Oh, boy.
Not just apparently, definitely. I think Jason Taylor is in a great position, and I hope we get him, but I would have rather drafted somebody again. Time will tell, but I just that's my Johnny One Note sour grapes every year. Next year, guys, we're going to be having the same conversation. I'm convinced.
Right.
This is like Lucy in the football.
It'll be after our fourth Super Bowl, so don't worry about it, Al.
Have a great one, guys.
All right.
We'll see you.
Big Al from Georgia.
He did make one point that I think was really interesting.
Because it's right. And, Andy, you said the same thing.
It was good stuff.
They clearly have decided we're going to wait to see those guys as pros, and then we're going to try to sign guys as free agents that we think can
but
do it.
But it's funny.
But that's
then they
really,
don't have to be tall anymore.
But
well, how tall was Roosevelt Colvin? Guys that he handed like $60 million were both 6'2", yeah. Right?
He was a little taller, but AD was 6'2", but he's 275.
Oh, I know.
And a freak of an athlete.
He looks bigger than 6'2".
Oh, but, now we're back to he's a freak of an athlete. You know he plays safety. Chad Johnson right into the Gatorade table.
But my point would be the negative side of this. I made the point that maybe I'm sipping the Kool-Aid here, but I think their personnel decisions in free agency haven't been that good. And I would say overall, that, you know, you want to take your whole value thing into Colvin and Thomas have not lived up to their contracts,
yeah,
in my mind.
Not yet. Right.
They were both good players.
Well, Colvin had the injury.
Colvin,
he was never
yeah,
the same.
You never know what could have happened.
I don't think AD has lived up to his contract either. And if that's what he's deciding, I'm going to wait to see what they do as pros and sign them. I think that he's been much more effective drafting talent than signing
Vrabel
free agents.
Was very good. He might have exceeded his contract, you know.
But I'm talking about in general, his free agent. Are we going to stack up his free agency against his draft and think it's even close?
Well, I'm talking about bringing in veterans, whether it's through free agency, through trade.
Okay.
He's done very well.
All right. Dwayne Starks, Eric Warfield, Torrey James.
Corey Dillon, Randy Moss. You know, he's done well with
Monty Beisel, Chad Brown.
Do you want to weigh this?
You have to bring in a lot of guys, Paul, no
and
matter
you
what you
do. Hit on more than he has. Well, that's all I'm saying.
He's
drafted a lot of guys, and he's hit on a lot of them.
He's hit on a lot of guys in free agency that are directly related to winning Super Bowls.
And he's hit on a lot of guys in the draft that have directly related to winning Super Bowls.
It's a combination of both. You have to do both.
But our point is he seems so dead set on value.
Anywhere near as effective in free agency as he has been in the draft.
Forget effective or not, he seems so dead set on value as a pass-rushing outside linebacker in the draft, can't waste an extra penny because the guy's not quite worth it, where you could argue he's wasted some pennies on Adalys Thomas and Roosevelt Colvin.
And I think Al's point about the linebackers that they have drafted, now granted, Bill didn't draft them all,
right?
But drafted linebackers in New England have fared much better than free agent acquisition linebackers.
You could also argue that when he's been selectively picking. I mean, he took a guy at top 10. You're obviously getting
an elite
player.
He didn't make all the picks. I mean, I'm talking about all the guys, the Patriots.
Right.
The better linebackers were draft picks. Bruce
Johnson, and
Johnson
were
McGinnis.
Before him. But, yeah, they were.
Well, he didn't make those picks.
That's what we're saying. Yeah. But he...
Are you listening at all?
No, he doesn't.
All right, that's...
Apparently, Paul stopped sipping the Kool-Aid somewhere through that discussion.
I know. It's just unbelievable.
Because he was all over Bill, and then he was all over Bill the other way.
It's like he woke up out of a Patriots trance and like, wait a minute, I'm Paul Perillo.
I'm everything but Patriots Paul Perillo. I'm Arlen Specter. I'm switching teams.
I stand by the Kool-Aid sipper when it comes to the draft.
No,
that's why you guys have swayed me on Sebastian Vollmer. To me, it's a guy they could have got as a free agent. But they took him in the second round, and I'm fine with it.
I am absolutely fine with it.
With it.
He would have been a mid-round pick.
Some people think he was going to be a free agent.
But
that's
not, he was going to be a mid-round pick.
And I'm fine with that pick in the second round because of what Bill has done in the past as a drafter.
Doctor wants me to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Tyrone McKenzie. All right, we'll be right back.
Lacrosse fans, once again, the NCAA Men's Championship is taking place right here in New England. That's right, the NCAA Men's Lacrosse Championship, the only NCAA event that includes all three divisions, will take place at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough on May 23rd, 24th, and 25th, 2009. Lacrosse is the fastest growing sport in the United States, and Gillette Stadium will once again be the home of the championships. This is an NCAA event you don't want to miss. Fans from all over the country will descend upon Foxborough to watch this exciting once-in-a-lifetime event. Order your tickets today while seats are still available. Log on to www.lax2009.com. That's lax2009.com or order through Ticketmaster. May 23rd, 24th, and 25th, Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. It's the 2009 Men's Lacrosse Championship. If you love lacrosse, this is the one sports event you don't want to miss.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly,
I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips, and we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
Tyrone McKenzie, and he's an interesting player that we kind of, you know, caught up with at the Senior Bowl. He started off in Michigan State, was a productive player there, had some family situations, so I had to leave Michigan State, go to Iowa State, started in that program. Same thing at Iowa State, went to South Florida, walked on to South Florida, and again, jumped in and was an immediate impact player in that program as well. So I think his versatility and being involved in some different defensive systems, how quickly he was able to adapt, be productive, and shows flexibility and versatility in those things was pretty impressive at a high level. And really, almost immediately, he was, you know, a positive impact in those programs. So,
all right, back here in PFW in progress, Tyrone McKenzie coming up. Is he on the phone yet? No, we're waiting for him to call in. Hey, I want to thank John in South Carolina for today's lunch.
Excellent, John. Thank you
Excellent.
Very much.
He says, hey, guys, including Eric, first, Pizzeria Grandi is great. The man on the phone acted as if he had actually done this before. He was friendly. And if I could put in an order for South Carolina, I would. God knows I miss Linguica Pizza.
Oh, yeah. Linguica Pizza
That
rules.
Being said, if the order is wrong, it was all that lousy guy on the phone's call.
Andy Hart right there.
With all the defensive tackles we took in the draft, could we be looking at a trade for Peppers involving Seymour in a draft pick? If so, I don't think I want it. What do you think on the possibility of such a trade or the result if the trade were to happen?
Well, I kind of had thought about that as a scenario a few weeks ago that might be
when you were thinking of anything and anything.
I was trying to figure out a way that it could work, and I was thinking, well, a player for player swap at the position that they're losing, Carolina might say, well, you know what, that might be a fair trade, and it might work out as far as freeing up cap for this organization. But you know, after what happened over the weekend, I thought for sure something was going to happen either Saturday or Sunday, and it didn't. I'm with each passing day less and less confident that it will happen, but if it were, I think it would have to involve at least one player.
Until he hasn't signed.
It were Seymour, though, and I do agree that it could probably work. You know, you carved out some space. You didn't take a first-round pick, which gives you a little bit of space, and then you got a significant amount of space with Hobbs. You know, if Seymour were to go, but
Vrabel's already gone.
That's a big but.
They didn't really get any defensive tackle. I mean, right. Brace is not going to play, I don't think.
He's not going to play end.
3-4 end.
I don't think so.
And certainly the other kid.
Richard is the closest.
Richard.
You know, yeah, I mean,
Pryor is athletic, but short.
Sixth and seventh round picks.
Bill's so much emphasizes the height thing on the edge there. Yeah. I find it hard to believe he'd put. I think Pryor has the athleticism, but he's only barely 6'1". I think he's like 6¾.
And Richard's not that much bigger.
He's like 6'2", so it's not ideal. He's a little light. I mean, and sixth and seventh round picks.
I mean, I don't think that those
you go
picks,
from all pro to seventh round pick.
Yeah, I think Bill had a good. I mean, you don't generally have an opportunity to get 300-plus pound guys that late in the draft, and never, you know, it's like pitching in baseball. I mean, hey, 300-pounders are available now that can play. And you said, as you said, Andy, some athleticism there and some mobility. Hey, let's take a flyer. Maybe we have a guy in 2 years that can play.
If you could put all three together and put one body, they would work. They all have nice aspects.
Brace, Pryor, and Richard?
No question. If you mold them, mush.
Then you're looking at someone who's 18 feet tall and about 900 pounds.
Be serious.
But, you know, it's interesting.
He'd be a great defensive lineman.
He can't even just talk football for a second. It's unbelievable.
And just the other thing, and the cap. Even if you got rid of Seymour and Hobbs, it's not enough. Even with the extra of the first-round pick, it's not enough. There's, I mean, you're talking about significant coin for Julius Peppers.
And, you know, we're watching NFL Network, you're listening to John Gruden, and still gushing over Richard Seymour as he's the guy that makes that 3-4 work.
The pace setter, I think he called him.
Yeah, he's the standard bearer that, you know, for the 3-4 defensive end.
It's interesting what people outside the organization who don't see them every day.
It's Fred's thing. Fred is right, but he's applying the theory to the wrong player. He applied it to Ellis Hobbs, who stinks. Everybody here and elsewhere thinks he stinks. Richard Seymour everybody is thought outside. To be good, but not as good as everybody thinks from people around here. Yeah, elsewhere, they think he's great.
Even that you brought that up, even Brian yesterday, Brian Morey, comes in and he goes, well, is Seymour going to make a play this year? And I'm like, what are you talking about, make a play? What do you want him to get, 15 sacks?
Right.
That's not going to happen.
Right.
Shouldn't the executive director of the Hall of Patriot Place know a future inductee when he sees one?
Yes.
Because he's going to have to induct
him
someday.
I had to set him straight. I had to have a little lecture to him. I said he made plenty of plays last year. Was he as good as he was in, say, 04? No.
Yeah.
But he made plenty of plays.
And that's why the reason I brought up Gruden was because, you know, so many of our listeners and, you know, we just kind of throw around Seymour being traded for Peppers, and I'm not so sure that's a good idea.
Well, the issue is the contract, though.
But even with, you know, you're
not going to be able to probably re-sign Richard Seymour if you re-sign Vince Wilfork.
He's in the last year of his deal, and you're getting a guy presumably for like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
And you're getting Peppers to fill a different slot, and maybe you believe Mike Wright can play end good enough in front of Peppers.
You know,
at
the
a
combination
far
of Wright and
cost.
Green, too. You know?
Well,
he's another free agent.
This year coming up is Wilfork's last year of his contract, correct?
What? Who?
This year is his last year.
Who's he?
Wilfork.
Seymour.
Yes.
And Wilfork.
I'm talking about Seymour.
Yes.
Yeah, both
okay.
of them. Yeah.
Now, unless the Patriots have designs on what they're going to do with him to keep him, wouldn't it be prudent right now to move him some so you get something for him?
Well, that's what Eric was saying.
That's what was my argument.
The fact that they haven't, does it kind of indicate that maybe they are going to try to keep him?
Well, no, because you're not just going to unload him.
Well, I mean, yeah.
You're not doing an Ellis Hobbs where you take 2 fives for Seymour because, you know, didn't want to lose him for nothing after the season.
There are a lot of, I mean, it's a pretty big pending free agent class. They're not going to re-sign them all ahead of time, so you're going into free agency knowing you're going to lose some and probably will retain some.
And you could probably
you're not going to trade them.
You
all.
Get the extra transition tag, which I know isn't all that useful.
Now, let me ask you this. I'm glad you brought that up.
I don't like when you point at me because it means there's a specific question coming looking for a specific answer.
Okay, well, if you don't have it, that's fine, too. We'll just be another one of those many shows that don't have specific answers.
I'll pull a Schefter and
God
say,
forbid we
Jason
have a
Taylor would look good. Hey, go ahead.
Right now, under the current CBA, can you use the franchise and transition at the same time or no?
Yeah.
Okay. The CBA, the uncapped poison pill, so to speak, is an extra use of one of those tags?
Is it one or is it an extra transition?
I don't know.
There's an extra one.
So
I didn't think
you still only have one
franchise,
but you can use two transitions?
I thought so.
I think so.
Because I don't think the transition is all that valuable.
It really isn't.
Because I think just right of first refusal.
Has anyone ever used
think,
one?
Yeah, yeah, they have used it, but it's not prevalent.
But it's just
not
the
like
right to match.
Franchise.
No.
It's the right to match. It's right of first refusal,
right,
basically.
Right.
And I don't think that's going to prevent teams that want the guy from signing him.
It Whereas just prevents a guy from getting pissy and leaving, just taking an offer elsewhere. It prevents him from just doing that. He has to give you, on paper, by rule, the right to match. So if you were in some, you know, Seymour would be a case. If he's upset with you, he's like, I'm leaving. I don't care what somebody offers me. I'm out.
So it's one franchise, two transitions.
I believe so.
Year.
We might want to double check that. But in theory,
strippers will tell
franchise
us.
Franchise Wilfork, transition Mankins and Seymour, and somewhat covered your bases on all three.
Good effort by the New Orleans Hornets last night, huh?
It's radio, Paul.
But that doesn't tell you anything? I just spoke those words.
Speaking of Barack Obama.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com.
Completely irrelevant to the topic, yes, but I did say it into the microphone.
I've got to tell you, though, I've been hooked on the Olympics.
They lost by an NBA playoff record, Fred, 58 points.
Oh, my God. That's embarrassing.
58? 58.
Oh, my God.
Let's see.
58.
121-63.
Alex writes in,
5'8".
Hey, guys, and Eric
Too
and
short
Fred.
Of 60?
Wow. Hey, guys, and Eric and Fred.
Wow.
Great coverage on draft
Fred
weekend.
Is, if anything, Fred is not Eric. I mean,
I'm a guy.
Oh,
yeah.
God. He's
I'm
man,
a guy.
He's
I'm a guy.
He's a man's man.
I'm a man.
Yes.
I mean,
man.
If you heard him speak, the inappropriate things he says in the office on a daily,
it's only a matter of time before we are off the air, and you'll know why, because Fred got fired.
Unlike me.
I think I insulted half the press box on Sunday.
I think you did. But unlike me, you're a lawsuit waiting to happen because you're in a position of power. That's part of that whole lawsuit thing that gets millions
true.
Of dollars to change
Andy
things.
And I get
that's
off true. When they just make a
whoa, whoa, whoa.
As soon as I said it, I knew he was going to laugh. That's like when I sent that thing yesterday
right,
and I had
I think there's a phone call coming
okay.
in.
My bad.
Anyway, let me finish up Alex's email. He says, great coverage on draft weekend. I have to say overall it was a good draft. I thought about it this weekend, and Belichick always says that he goes for the best player available, but we need to realize it's the best player available in the Patriots system. Sure, there were Pats fans throwing their arms in the air after having Everett Brown and Malayuga sitting there in the second round, but obviously Bill saw something that would not make them good players in the system. I think they address their needs to get younger on defense, have a couple projects on their hands, and have more picks for next year. Oh, and one other thing, Tim on the PFW blogs, you suck.
Wow.
So I guess there was a lot of listener crime again. A lot of argument going on in the blogs. All right, so Doctor is holding up a sign that tells me that Tyrone McKenzie's on the phone right now. Tyrone. Are you there?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, Tyrone. This is PFW in Progress. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So has it sunk in yet? You're a New England Patriot.
A little bit, but I think it's going to sink in when I get there on Thursday.
And what did they tell you to expect when you get here on Thursday? What are you going to be doing?
Just getting in there and just getting to work. I don't know exactly what I'm going to be doing until I get there, but you know, I'm excited to get there and excited to be a part of a team again.
Football-wise, it sounds like you project as an inside linebacker here after playing a lot of outside linebacker. What are your expectations, or how do you view becoming an inside guy in a two-gap, 3-4 front?
Well, I don't know exactly what they want me to play yet, but, playing inside or playing outside, I can manage it. You know, being a two-gap defender, that's not a problem. I was a two-gap defender in a 4-3 scheme when I was at Iowa State when I played middle, and going to USF, I played throughout all three linebacker positions. And so whatever it is, you know, I know Coach Patricia, you know, he's a passionate guy. You know, he wants to get after it, and I'm the same way. So me and him just going to, you know, get after it. And whatever he needs me to do, you know, to help the defense out, I'm going to get it done.
You brought up Coach Patricia. What some of the other Patriots personnel that maybe you spoke with during the pre-draft process, and what were your impressions of how the Patriots went about doing things?
It's pretty in-depth, you know, from going on different visits to different teams. When you go to the Patriots, you can tell that everything's in depth. Everybody wants to get a chance to meet you so everybody can have their opinion on you. And so it means a lot when you get drafted by a team like that because it shows that, you know, they see you as a player that can play for them. And on top of that, you're one of their type of guys. And so I think whenever you go to a team, you know, with so much success through the future, I mean, through the past and upcoming future, you know, you got to take that as a high respect.
Tyrone, unlike a lot of players, you had a chance to transfer twice during your college career. Do you think that the experiences that you had at the different schools and the different programs has helped you grow up maybe a little bit faster than somebody else in your position might normally have been?
Exactly. I think going through, you know, just what I've had dealt with throughout, you know, growing up and then going into college and things that have happened with my family and going from program to program, you know, it really taught me to grow up and be the mature man that I am today. And, you know, you got to take the punches as you go. And you know, everything's been a blessing so far. And I think and things will continue to be a blessing. And things will, you know, happen for a reason. So I'm excited to be a Patriot. And I'm excited, you know, to be up there with those crazy fans.
Tyrone, Coach Belichick told us on the end of draft weekend in his press conference that you were one of the more mature guys and in terms of character, one of the more impressive guys he's ever come across in the pre-draft process. And obviously, he's been in the NFL for some 30 years. That is literally thousands and thousands of guys. How do you take a compliment like that coming from Coach Belichick?
It's huge. You know, when I first saw it, I was surprised. I was like, you know, that means a lot to me. You know, from a head coach, being Coach Belichick, just being what he's done, you know, to the Patriots and what he's done, you know, when he was in the Browns and, you know, where, like, through the past, it's a huge compliment. And, you know, I got to take it with stride. And I, you know, just keep running with it, and you know, just continue to be the same person I am today throughout my career.
Does it feel like a relief at all, finally, that you've made it to this level after all the stuff that you've been through, even since when you were, you know, when you were a young kid, when your dad died of cancer, your mom having the accident, having to work overnight at the hotel to try to support your family. This must feel like you must have felt just a huge burden off your shoulders this weekend when you got that call.
Exactly. Yeah, this weekend, I mean, there's no words that I can say to explain it, but it's a huge feeling just, you know, I finally made my goals. Every year I set a goal for myself, and my goal was to play the NFL, and I accomplished that goal. And just to be a part of a team, you know, be a part of an organization in the NFL, the best, you know,
league that you can be, that you can play for in football. Meaning, it's crazy. It's a blessing, and I'm just very excited.
Tyrone, what was the weekend like for you? What did you do anything special while the draft was going on?
No. You know, I just watched the draft like I normally do every year. Just stay with my family and just watch it. Just enjoyed it. You know, it's kind of crazy. The draft is crazy when you see players come off the board, and you're just like, okay, when is it going to be my turn? You know, okay, they're going to call me next. No, not yet. And then you look at your phone every 5 seconds and see if you got a phone call yet. And when I finally had that call from Coach Belichick, it was huge. You know, just to be drafted by the New England Patriots is huge. And so I was just pumped up from there, and I was just like, I finally got a chance to take a deep breath and say, it's over with, thank God. And, you know, now I can finally get a good night rest.
Was that the only team that called you? Or were there any other teams that called you before that you might thought you might go to?
Yeah, Jaguars, pro director of scouting and linebacker coach, they called me before and, you know, wished me good luck and, you know, let me know that if I was on the board, they're going to take me. And I had a lot of teams that had me high, like the Giants had me high on their board. And so I was thinking, you know, second round, I was going to get picked up late second round. And then, you know, seeing some guys come off, and I'm just like, how is that possible? But, you know, everything, at the end of the day, when it was all said and done, there's not a team I'd rather get drafted by in the National Football League than the Patriots. And so me falling to the Patriots was huge.
Tyrone, we all read the scouting reports and, you know, Mel Kiper and Pro Football Weekly, and they all have the write-up of each player. If you had to write your own, you know, Tyrone McKenzie write-up of how you are as a linebacker, how would you describe your style of play? And what are your, you know, your strengths?
Well, yeah, that's key right there. I think that, you know, Mel Kiper, those guys really don't know that much about, you know, each player and stuff. And, you know, they only know about the guys that are on TV every weekend. And so from my own, you know, bio, I have to write that I'm a versatile player, passionate, big, strong, and fast. I'm going to hustle. I'm going to hustle the same way as it is in the first quarter or in the fourth quarter to get to that ball.
Well, I mean, that's good enough for me right now. So,
Fred's a tough nut to crack, too, Tyrone. I'll tell you.
If you wear Patriots colors, then you're all right with me. But have you had a chance to talk to anybody like Gerard Mayo or Teddy Bruschi yet, or just is that a, you know, you're waiting to do that in the near future?
Yeah, I can't wait to meet Teddy. And I talked to Gerard after I got drafted because we both have the same agent. So he called up our agent, and then my agent was right beside me when I got drafted. So he just gave me the phone, and I talked to Gerard a little bit. And, you know, he was like, you excited? I'm like, yeah, I'm excited. And he was like, good. Now, you know, let's get to work. I'm like, hey, I don't expect anything else.
Okay.
Tyrone, one of the things that Gerard is known for famously around here is his in-depth study of film and how many hours he spends here at the office. Are you a big guy into film study?
Yeah, I'm a huge guy in film study. I feel that that's the way that if you take a game to the next level. And this past season of my senior year, I watched tape all through, you know, my career. But this past season of my senior year, I spent a little bit more time, like, staying up at 12 o'clock at night watching tape with my defensive coach, you know, watching tape with the defensive coaches, just trying to get a head start. So when I was on the field, I was, you know, I was the leader on the defense. And on top of that, I was the guy that knew exactly what was going to happen to make sure all my teammates were lined up. And I knew exactly, at times, what was going to happen on the offensive side. And so a couple times, after watching my tape, you would see that I jumped the snap. Like, the reason why I got a chance to jump the snap or made a tackle on the backfield is because I knew what was going to happen before it happened. And so I felt that, you know, watching tape is huge. You got to watch your opponent. You got to figure out what's going on now. You know, third and long, you know, are they a big screen team or are they going to try and get to the marks? You know, second and first and ten, obviously, you don't know what's going on first and ten, but are they going to come? Are they going to run the ball? Are they going to pass? You never know.
When you visited with the Patriots, did they put that skill to test? Did they ask you to draw something on the whiteboard or diagnose anything? And do you think that aspect of your game may have enticed them to pick you?
Yeah, you know, they asked me. I watched tape with them, and, you know, when Coach Patricia came to Tampa to work me out, you know, we sat there on the board, and, you know, I taught him our defense, and, you know, he quizzed me on their defense and stuff, and, you know, I think I did a good job on it.
You must have done something right, Tyrone, because you are now a New England Patriot, so that'll be it for us. So we thank you for getting on the show, and we welcome you to New England.
All right, thank you, guys. Thank you guys for having me, and I'm really excited. Hope to talk to you soon.
Okay, all right, Tyrone McKenzie.
Yep, we'll see you this weekend.
Congratulations, Tyrone.
All right.
That's Tyrone McKenzie, the Patriots' newest, we hope, inside linebacker.
The M&M boys.
Oh, I forgot to tell him.
What?
Last time we had two players on this show, one became a $36 million franchise quarterback, and the other became a Pro Bowler and has got 100 passes two straight years.
Oh, well, there you go.
He's got high standards to live up to.
We're a good platform for bigger and better
things. I say he starts seven games, has 72 tackles.
Well, look at Adam Schefter. That'd
be good numbers.
After going on this show, he's going to be going on to
bigger and better things. Something else.
Better
yes.
jobs. So, we are the launching
well,
pad
the thing
for great
is, too,
careers,
he also was,
except for ours.
He was heard. He was heard by more people today than he has been over the last couple of years. And
that's
the
true.
Television station he's worked at.
Oh. I really was hoping he was going to get dirty.
Speaking of that, I got a letter in the mail yesterday from Comcast saying that as of May 1st, it looks like, you know, even though we're not throwing in the towel yet, those were their words. NFL is going to be pulling NFL Network off your thing, and you know we're trying to do everything we can, but they're refusing to do it, so they're going to probably pull it off. But you have your choice of either upgrading your internet to higher speed, or you get 6 movie passes for on demand. That's what as a customer appreciation.
What are you going to take?
I haven't decided yet.
What are your choices again?
You get to, I'm on the internet, high speed.
Yes. I'm on the internet.
So I can
You're cutting edge.
I can raise the speed to their like higher high speed, whatever that is.
4G.
Or
you
I can
upgrade
get
4G.
Or
you
I can
upgrade
4G's
your modem.
4G's next.
Yeah.
Because I got a new modem. I haven't hooked it up yet.
Yeah. Or I can get 6 movie passes.
I take the 6 movies.
I would.
You
too.
Would?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
My guess is you would never notice the difference,
well,
better or worse.
Yeah, but
the new
kid
internet.
Plays Xbox and he complains every once in a while.
Take the movies,
but I think it's going to depends on who's on and everything.
Unless you get the kid starting to take out the trash for you and stuff, then I would not
Tell
worry
this
about
kid
all
to
in the
screw
lawns.
Off.
His Xbox play.
Yeah. All right, Tyrone McKenzie was just on the phone. That's great.
Nice kid.
What?
Seems like a nice kid, huh?
No, he does. He seems great.
Yes,
he was as impressive as I think Belichick described him on Sunday. Looking forward, I think
thoughtful.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, again, I'll sip the Kool-Aid, and maybe I'll be dead wrong on this in 3 years, but I think you're going to have Mayo and McKenzie inside. Andy and Eric sold me on the kid. I didn't get to see him as much, obviously. They were very impressed with him at the Combine, and the Patriots then took him. That's all I need.
PFW, right again.
I'm giving Andy and Eric the nod on this one, and then when Bill talked about him the way he talked about on Sunday, I think you get the M&M boys.
Wow,
at
we come before
linebacker.
Bill on well, the reasons well, why Bill, we like McKenzie.
It's rare. We better take it while we
Bill,
can.
If Bill had said, in February what you guys said, I would have said Bill said he loved him in February and whatever.
So you heard it
you
from us first.
You guys said it when you got back from the Combine. You guys were gushing about that.
We loved
kid.
Him first.
You did. I'm giving you the nod.
All right.
If he sucks,
for that, you
if he
get
sucks
to go
it was
the Combine
fault.
Again next year.
Another year, Paul will not be with us at the Combine.
Son of a...
If he only knew how he ate out there, he would go.
It's true.
Webradio at Patriots.com
is the
email address.
Knock this crap off,
On the phone is Jamie from Houston. Jamie, how you doing?
What's going on, fellas? It was a very enjoyable draft weekend. Always full of surprises they are, huh?
They are.
You must be happy they drafted a receiver. You've been lusting after another receiver to improve the offense.
No, I was just lusting after T.O. and what he brings to the table, but that's a whole other story. Why bring that up, Andy?
Hey, do you know anything about Seabass from Houston?
No. I like Seabass to kind of go together with Mankind over there. Have a nice day! Mankind and Seabass, that's a hell of a lineup. I like that.
That was very funny.
So you haven't seen him play? Can't give us a scouting report?
No. You guys probably seen more.
Hey, let me just
seen a snap.
Let me just tell you this, Jamie. With Brandon Tate on board, ask any NFL expert. Patriots go 19-0.
Yeah. Okay. I'd rather have Terry Tate myself.
Oh, the office linebacker.
Yeah.
I want the office linebacker.
It's too short, Bill said.
Little segue there, guys.
When you kill the Joe, make some more.
Come on, you can't be messing with them TPS reports like that.
Those were great spots. Those
they were.
If we had Terry Tate in our office, Chris Ferreira would be the victim of
his
hits.
Dead. Chris Ferreira
every
would be dead
single day.
Yeah, but now with us not taking any first round talent in the first round, are you guys? Still speculating that maybe there's a chance for making the cap room for a Peppers or for a Jason Taylor. I mean, any strategy behind that? I mean, maybe there's something little to that as to why he didn't open up the bank book for the rookies in the first round.
Yes, Taylor. I mean, I think the Ellis Hobbs move and no first round pick that pays Jason Taylor. You're talking about probably 3 and change you opened up with that, two and change for Hobbs and a another $1 million to $2 million cap number for the rookie first round pick. Sounds like Jason Taylor money to me.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And hey, that made my day just right there. You know, getting rid of Hobbs. That made my whole draft right there. That was the best move they did all day.
No, Fred says he is underappreciated locally. That around the league they think more of him, and we just nitpick on all his.
Look, I'm going to stick by it. I don't think he's as bad as New England fans thought he was.
I think we made a step up in cover back, but we may have taken a step down. Have we got anybody for a return specialist? I mean, that was the only thing I really saw him bring to the table is
we have
he
a,
could return the ball.
We have a
forget about Slater.
Like.
They should. I would have drove him to the airport.
Good
too,
competition
that
at kick return.
It'll be a committee. I think in the beginning, and then they'll have to settle on one maybe as the.
But I mean, you have Maroney who led the AFC a couple years ago,
as a rookie.
Two, 3 years ago.
Rookie.
You have Wheatley. You have Butler. You probably have others that I'm forgetting. So I mean, you have decent competition.
Like Paul said Wheatley. Don't forget was a. You said it actually. Wheatley was.
Andy just mentioned him.
Yeah, and you got Fred's boy Matthew Slater.
No, he's gone.
I'm off of him.
Thank you, Fred. Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow, that hurts. Is he officially the first Patriot who was still on the roster who Fred cut ties with?
Who didn't do something like illegal?
Yeah, didn't do anything that bad.
Yeah,
that's a first.
I'm kind of off of him.
He's a nice
I saw too,
too
many situations where he was in a position to do something, and he just didn't do it.
He doesn't have it.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Hey, it's been a great couple of weeks leading up to the draft. Lots of good classic stuff. Andy, a couple of weeks ago with his preparation age business, and then the Tampa 2 and the Gator Tail. That's the absolute best. That's hysterical.
All right.
Thanks, Jamie.
All right, Jamie.
Jamie from Houston.
Thanks, Jamie.
Webradio@patriots.com. It's the email address, webradio@patriots.com. A lot of emails have come in. Sean from the Vineyard writes in. He says, Vollmer is ridiculous. In my last email that you read, I set the line on the over-under for starters drafted this year at 4. Do you guys think we got him? Fred, I'll wait till 2012 for your answer. Butler, Vollmer, cha-ching are money, and we'll start multiple games each. Bryce McKenzie, that's Patrick Chung. Bryce McKenzie will actively back up this year, and one of them will end up starting due to injuries. It's a stretch because we choose not to draft much earlier, but I'm booking it. And by the way, Fred, with Pioli gone and you speaking officially for the Patriots, I'd like to cut through the crap and just go to press releases to see your statements. It would be easier than rewinding the show. Wow. Sean just killing me for speaking kindly of a team that is one of the best of this decade.
Astute listener.
You know, God forbid.
You didn't speak kindly of, you spoke kindly for.
Kindly,
how come
God forbid.
How come when you speak kindly, it's speaking kindly of, you know, a great team? When I speak kindly, you make fun of me.
It's so rare.
It's disingenuous, Paul.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Fred truly loves the Patriots.
But I call it like I see it.
Right, and you so haven't seen what they've done over the last 10 years.
Of course I have.
Starter game.
Four starters? To drafts.
I think that's unlikely.
Four rookie
especially
starters?
Especially since we didn't draft an outside linebacker.
Yeah.
It's tough. I mean, we got to remember that.
You've got to take the under.
Yeah.
I think Butler could.
I think.
Chung could.
Right.
Vollmer could.
Right.
Maybe even McKenzie could, but I don't think all of them will.
Right.
I think McKenzie, I'd be stunned.
You've got to remember McKenzie who's in those shot. Positions right now.
Right.
You know?
James Sanders is not losing his job.
I'd be surprised.
Well, that's the one that could.
If you want to put a guy who can't tackle in the lineup, good call there. We'll see how that works out.
If you want to be strictly the 11 guys, you know, the 11
so
starters
emotional.
Traditionally, I don't think Chung's going to start. I think Merriweather and
well,
Sanders.
Well, yeah, if you
want to
cheat
injuries.
And make, like, nickelbacks and fifth receivers and seventh tight ends and kick returners and punters.
I think Chung will be in the mix for some sub-packages, but I don't think he'll start over Sanders.
Ryan Mack.
McKenzie, I think, has a chance to start over Bruschi.
Later. I'd be stunned if Teddy Bruschi doesn't start opening day.
Yeah, I would.
As impressive
I would
as McKenzie
too.
Could be.
I would be, too.
Stunned. He may come in on the second play, but I think Teddy Bruschi will start opening
and
day.
And I think by week 7 or 8, I think someone used the word 7. No, you just said it.
Seven games. 70, Paul.
7 and 70.
7 week he'll
chance,
start?
No, I think 7 there's
games.
A chance for that.
7 games, 70 tackles, you said.
Ryan Mack from Fresno says, what's up, guys? And Eric, great job on the draft coverage. How many of the 12 picks do you believe we keep? And do you think Wilfork and Seymour are Patriots next year?
How many do we keep?
No.
Keep as far as the active roster.
I don't think
we're going to get many.
Three, four, five.
Ooh.
Six. Because you got to count Ingram.
Well, this Edelman kid. I mean, if he shows promise, they're going to want to kind of keep him around. Well,
he will not be on the active roster.
Well, no, on the active roster.
No, but at that, the, on the practice squad or something. Yeah. You know, not, yeah.
As Tom Waddle said on NFL Network, they're putting together a nice, young, talented practice squad.
Six.
Chung,
will be the max.
Brace, Butler.
Volmer.
And McKenzie.
McKenzie and Ingram.
Yeah.
Your long snapper.
One of the linemen will probably be.
Yeah, I'll say one of the offensive linemen.
Probably Volmer. Ornberger smells like a practice squad. He's a. They'll bury him.
So what's that? Five, one, two, three, four, five. If one of the offensive linemen make it,
Volmer, because I think he
and,
sounds well, better.
And the long snapper's got a shot. He's going to be in.
Well,
the,
he'll, yeah.
In,
no, I don't see. I don't
Eric
think Ornberger will make it. I think he
you
could
don't.
Be better. Huh. I think he'll probably be on the practice squad.
Yeah.
I think I'm comparing him to what you have. He's a Russ Hochstein, Billy Yates, and I think they think that Hochstein and Yates are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I think Volmer has a chance to maybe be better than a guy like Britt. And he's a former tight end, so I'm sure he could play tight end if he needs to
right.
in one of those five tight end packages.
Like yeah. Britt did a lot.
The hot
I don't necessarily
year.
Think maybe he has a worse or better future, but comparing him to what could make the roster instead of, I think Hochstein and Yates are pretty well thought of. Mm-hmm. Back
so
up line.
You're looking at about five, maybe six.
Now, I mean,
if the
have...
long snapper makes it, that's big because that's a big spot. You
I'm
know,
trying to think
that doesn't
of
really
like,
count, but
compared
it's a big
to
spot.
Like, say Slater is done. That's a very unique roster spot that was used up last year that could go to anybody, almost anybody.
And Brandon Tate's health also factors in because if
yeah,
he's
yeah.
ready,
just, right.
if he's ready to play, he's a lock.
Right. Yeah,
think.
He can't be. Practice
I'm assuming
squad.
He's. I'm assuming right. he's not ready to play.
He will not be on the practice squad because he'll be on
no,
another team.
I assume he'll be on PUP to yeah. start the season.
Yeah. Matt from Boston, a pattern in the draft that I notice every year is that tons of quarterbacks with great resumes aren't even selected, like this year's Graham Harrell from Texas Tech and yep. John Parker Wilson from Alabama.
Ooh,
is this
leech.
Simply because so many teams have neither franchise quarterbacks or quarterbacks for the future already, or is there something I'm missing here?
Mike Leach thinks it's because the NFL notoriously drafts poorly when it comes to quarterback, he said while defending his boy Graham Harrell. He was very upset. Did you read those comments, Fred?
There's some truth
no, I
to
didn't.
That.
He was very upset. And you know Mike Leach is not afraid to voice his opinions on pretty much anything, but he defended his guys. Graham Harrell didn't get drafted, and Crabtree obviously slipped, although you could argue it was kind of the Raiders screwed that up. He said they draft poorly in terms of quarterbacks. He was upset that Stephen McGee, the A&M guy, who got drafted by the Cowboys in the fourth or fifth round, he said apparently the Cowboys like their quarterback, this guy is a quarterback, more than his coaches at A&M did. And then he went on to rip Mangini because Mangini called Crabtree a diva, supposedly, leaked it out there. And he said, Crabtree is a better wide receiver than Eric Mangini
already.
Is as a coach.
Yeah. Already done more as a wide receiver than Mangini
and
has as a coach.
And that good luck to those non-divas up wow. in Cleveland this year.
And then Graham Harrell signed?
With
the Cleveland.
Browns.
With Cleveland.
This might be a little patchwork.
But I
do
think there's
the
quarterbacks, number one. I know that there aren't a lot of great quarterbacks, but there aren't a lot of teams that would take a quarterback reasonably high.
Right.
Because whether you think the guy is great or not, most teams are set at quarterback. And then later on in the draft, I feel like I think there's some truth to Mike Leach's comment that the NFL hasn't drafted quarterbacks well because there's a long, long list of quarterbacks that don't. You know, that don't pan out.
It's a long list of both, and either late round type guys that pan out. Not every year, but it seems like there's one every once, you know, a Castle or a Bulger or a Brady.
I think the biggest thing is impatience. I think that, you know, there's pressure to draft quarterbacks that can come right in and play, you know, at least in the second year. And some of these guys take a long time. It's a real, real tough position. And if you were willing to give a guy a number of years, I think there's a lot of guys who probably never got the chance to play in this league who might have been good quarterbacks.
I also think it has to do with everyone knows quarterbacks. Even at the college level, you know who the quarterback as a team is.
Hmm.
And they're productive in college, but so's the middle linebacker, who's a very – I mean, he probably had 100 tackles last year for Boise State. But we don't know who he is,
right.
So we don't complain that he didn't get drafted. And then when the NFL puts a premium on the position and says, you have to be 6'3", you have to have this kind of arm – well, they also put the same premium on that middle linebacker who's 5'10", 210, and is very good at Boise State, but never even gets a sniff.
You look at any one of these draft guides, the first section, quarterbacks. That's the section that leads off every draft guide,
well,
you know?
But, I mean, none of us would.
Well, what?
That's the way to go.
Kind of how it starts.
Well, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, offensive line, defensive line, linebacker,
except
cornerback, safety.
But except for the PFW draft preview last year. I went in to see what order we go in, and I think we did it where stuff fit, and it went like quarterback.
Right. And I made sure to rectify that situation
like,
this year.
What did we use as a criteria?
They were all over the place in terms of the size of the files.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, that's just generally the way you do it is you go – left to right, from quarterback to safety.
Speaking of that,
it's how the NFL
post-draft
the combo,
right? Newspaper on stands Tuesday?
Yeah.
Wednesday. Yes. Next Wednesday. Printed on Tuesday.
Yes, printed on next Tuesday, be available out next Wednesday.
And what can people look forward to reading in there? Obviously, you're going to have all the
draft profiles.
Most
in-depth draft profiles of the new Dirty Dozen here in New England.
And you guys get to talk to the position coaches of the colleges they came from.
Mm-hmm. We're trying.
Hopefully.
Trying to do that.
Except for some
And we'll have info from the mini-camp coming
mini-camp,
up on Thursday.
Got a Gerard Mayo story.
Yeah.
Got a Pierre Woods story coming up.
Good.
A look at the AFC East and how they drafted, and an analysis of how that'll all come together.
Hey, another Mendenhall is ridiculous for you.
Excellent.
Eagles signed Walter Mendenhall, running
good little
back
player.
For
really?
State.
Good little player.
Is he ridiculous?
No.
The other way. He's just ridiculous.
Nah, ridiculous that he didn't get drafted?
It's a jag.
Chris from Stamford, Connecticut says, hey, guys, well, I have to give you credit for a fun weekend. I watched ESPN with the sound off and listened to you. Spent more hours on the couch than I care to recall, and somehow I ended up exhausted. I feel like there's a joke for Andy there somewhere, but I'll just move on. I'm feeling much better about this draft now than Sunday when the OL selections didn't make a lot of sense to me. Although they reached on each one, it makes sense for them to bolster the line with so many contracts expiring, something I didn't know at the time. The most intriguing pick of the draft might be Julian Edelman. I'd never heard of him, but watching film of him and seeing his pro day numbers showed a quick, multifaceted athlete who could do a lot of things for them. Whether he makes a team or not, it's always nice to have some entertainment value with a seventh round pick. I've never seen so much draft coverage from PFW, and that's saying something. Very impressive work. On to rookie camp.
I don't know if Edelman will make the Patriots, but I'm pretty sure he's got a spot on Paul Perillo's team already. He's starting to get a little following here.
I love the pick, though. I will say that for the exact reasons the emailer said. Seventh-round pick, really a diverse kind of athlete with a lot of different skill sets. That's the kind of guy that gets taken in the seventh round. Mm-hmm. Now, he gets taken in the second round if he's dynamic at any of those things, like Pat White.
Right.
And you go to the seventh round when you do all of those things well, not great, well. There's a difference.
Brian in Tuscaloosa says, the draft coverage was amazing. 6 hours of your banter was more than I could ask for, and I didn't even listen live.
No, really, it was more than I asked for.
I listened to the
Cut
podcast.
Cut back to five next year, will you?
I listened to the podcast at work yesterday and was even more entertained by knowing what happened first and listening to you guys think what may happen.
Well, that would be more entertaining.
Good job all around. In the spirit of drafting Patrick Chung, I have a story about Eugene Chung. A few years ago, I was working in a hotel in Orlando when I checked in Eugene Chung. I didn't know how he was at first, but when he started to talk about football, I could tell he played in the NFL at some point. He asked me who my team was, and I said the Patriots. The conversation soon died down in enthusiasm, and I received a less than stellar tip as a result. Wow. Let's hope Patrick Chung is a true Patriot through and through. So,
that had to have hurt Eugene Chung when he didn't know the guy who's a fan of the Patriots didn't know who he was.
Right.
It's funny that he said he listened to us after the draft because, you know, it's always better to evaluate your live
draft show
after the draft takes place.
That's what Fred does.
On the phone, was it Jim in Dallas? John in Dallas.
Hi.
John, how
John
you doing?
Dallas.
Johnny boy, what's up?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Well, I have to say, after this weekend, I am even more proud to be a Pats fan. All the mock drafts, I think, were just blown out of the water. But it was very entertaining living here in Dallas to see Jerry Jones and his band of misfits in their draft room scrambling when their time came up. So kudos to the Pats. Kudos to Belichick. I think the draft is excellent. My prediction, Edelman is going to make the roster.
Really?
Wow.
I'll be stunned.
You're right, Andy. He's on my team.
Yeah, I think he's going to make the roster. I guess if you compare him to Gutierrez, who do you think is a better option? In terms of versatility, Edelman can do
as a quarterback,
as a pure quarterback. But couldn't Edelman's as a quarterback for Kent State? Edelman had a pretty good completion percentage.
No, he didn't. The best he completed in his 3 years was 55%.
I thought I saw something like 65, but okay,
55%.
Okay, so you're picking Gutierrez over Edelman. All right.
As a quarterback, yeah.
You should see the look on Paul's face right now. It's like somebody farted on his pillow.
No. Look, I just got finished telling. I think it's a great seventh-round pick. That's the kind of guy I think an intriguing athlete. I think
Jody Reed.
No, Jeff Fry.
Jeff Fry.
I think he's got a lot of things going for him. I think he's destined for the practice squad, and we have not heard the last of this guy. They're going to find out if he can do some of those things in a Wildcat package, as maybe a slot receiver. There's a reason why they announced him as a wide receiver, Fred. He's not going to play quarterback.
Right.
Yeah. But I think he's definitely an intriguing pick, and I think he's destined for the practice squad.
I was a little thrown off when they drafted Tate. You know, I mean, it's one thing if a quarterback blew out his ACL, MCL, but to have a wide receiver do it and then take a gamble on him, there were quite a few good receivers in the third round they could have shot for. They probably could have, at least had a chance of playing this year.
Well, John, maybe it's like Andy said, they were so enamored with the advances in medical, technology when repairing these type of injuries.
I hope he said this a lot more articulately than
he just
did.
And what they've seen and how Brady has recovered, they figure, it's not that big a deal anymore when a guy blows out his ACL.
And a lot of receivers have done it. A lot of receivers, though. I mean, Jerry Rice did it. There were plenty of receivers that blew out an ACL, came back, and were still very productive. Mm-hmm. And this is a guy, you're getting him 2+ rounds after where his talent may have landed him, which is in the first round.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's a little bit of a risk, but I think it's the risk reward is in your favor.
Yeah, no more of a risk than Sebastian Vollmer.
Yeah. The fact that you don't need him to come in and contribute as a wide receiver this year, I think makes it a good
especially pick. In a draft when you have 12 picks.
Yep.
You can afford to do stuff like that.
Yep.
So finally, guys, what are your thoughts on some of the undrafted rookies they brought in? Especially, I think what's pretty intriguing is that guy from Kent State, the wrestler.
Mm-hmm. I have no interest.
Jermall Porter.
Yeah, I have no interest in him. I like Appleby. Yeah. I liked him on tape, the
linebacker
kid out of Virginia.
Inside
linebacker out of Virginia. Go that Randall Gay route where he knows the system, gives him a step up, and then all of a sudden he makes a roster spot as a rotational guy inside. I think he's an intriguing guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And probably the Hoyer
I think Hoyer, too, I think has a chance to.
A better chance. If you want to do Gutierrez-Hoyer, you might have a chance of having a debate.
All right, John from Texas.
Because Edelman will be running Wildcat for the Dolphins practice squad team against the Patriots this year.
Can you imagine him in practice, how valuable he's going to be in practice?
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you imagine the team they're putting together with Slater, Ventrone, Edelman? They're going to have a good practice field competitive team.
There'll be a lot of black jerseys that are going to be passed out this year.
Is the opinion of my team, though, Fred, is Edelman's a lock for the roster. Don't really like the Brandon Tate.
Right.
I mean, if you were to line those two guys up on a football field, then you would not find one guy who would take Edelman over Brandon Tate.
And what is Edelman like? Last year we had Slater, a similar kind of strange guy. They traded up. He was higher in the draft. But at least he had a freakish speed. I mean, when we watched him, he's fast. Doesn't translate to the game field for some reason.
Remarkably fast.
And was considered a great special teamer. He did something that you were going to ask him to do.
At an elite level.
This guy is a total projection where you're going to put him. So, to me, and we were surprised. There was debate Slater, end of camp. Is he going to make the roster? Yes, no, Kenny? I mean, I don't think this guy's a shot
in Hades.
I'll
go back and check those stats just to make sure, because John said 65%. I want to say it was 55, 52, and 55 were the 3 years that he stuck. Because he started at quarterback for 3 years for Kent State.
I just wanted to say, speaking of completion percentage, Chris Ferreira wants to go on record as Graham Harrell is a great quarterback. The Browns got a great quarterback, all because of his completion percentage. He will be great. 70-something.
And he refuses to call him Graham Harrell.
He calls him Harrell.
Graham Harrell.
TG and NJ writes in, you guys covered it live. What is your opinion of the proposal of the draft being spread out to 3 days?
Hate it.
I can't believe this.
You know what?
It's getting worse and worse.
It's not such a bad idea, and I'll tell you what. Anyway,
well,
he says,
it'll free up the weekend a little bit.
Right.
I'll say that.
Here's the text from PFT, Pro Football Talk. We're more confident now with the timing of the first round that it can fit into a 3.5-hour window, Goodell said. We think it can be very appealing from a fan standpoint and an audience standpoint. We'll talk to our teams about it. We have to see what impact this would have on them, but I think it has potential. Back to TJ. He says, and while it had been presumed that a primetime first round would unfold on Friday night, the league wisely would position it in an evening earlier when the audience is larger. Then rounds 2 and 3 would be conducted on Friday, and the final 4 rounds would occur on Saturday. I like it. I like the idea.
We're going Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
Thursday night.
Thursday, first round, night, prime time.
Oh, so
then
we get Sunday
Friday
off.
Friday would have rounds 2 and 3, and then Saturday would finish.
Huh.
I don't think it's such a bad idea, because I think that Thursday night, first round only, would be a pretty big event.
I'll tell you why I don't like it, because I know.
For fans.
I think whatever you get right now watching the first round is what you get on Thursday
night. Do you think my mom is going to tune in because it's on Thursday night?
I'm going to stand by
this. Your mom isn't tuning in now. Exactly. That's not the point.
That's my point. There is a finite number of draft diehards that are going to watch it, whether you put it on at midnight.
Right.
Or two in the morning, or anywhere in between.
I would contend, even among the diehards, there are a percentage of them that on a Saturday have other things they have to
do. Well, that same percentage is on a Thursday night.
On a Thursday night, there's going to be more people at home.
I really do.
I think it's not a bad idea.
Negligible either direction.
I'd like to try.
If they could do it right, I wouldn't be opposed to it, but I know what they're going to do. They're going to start it at 8 o'clock. At the earliest, it'll probably be closer to like 8:30. It won't get over until like after midnight, and they'll ruin it. They'll completely ruin it, because that's what the NFL does. They have no consideration whatsoever for the fans. None.
Okay. I mean, I'd like to hear what some fans think, you know.
But
I don't know. To me, it sounded appealing. The idea of Thursday night and then Friday night and then, yeah, okay, Saturday you finish up for the diehards.
I think you're destined. You're destined to lose, I think, viewers. But we'll see. I'm sure they'll come out with the numbers that back up what they say, because that's what they do.
Well, yeah, they tweak those.
You know, like they try to tell me the Saturday night primetime playoff games drew more than they did at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't buy that.
It's like that report that came out that they counted the actual Nielsens in New England, and it's like barely over 1,000 TVs are Nielsen TVs in New England, and they give you the rating for all of New England out of 1,000 people.
Oh, all across the country, the Nielsens are a minute percentage of
But that's how they tweak those numbers any way they want, because it's all, you know, those numbers are flawed. They don't take into account homes with multiple TVs.
But you're spread it out over 3 days, and you think you're going to have people come back 3 days
to watch it doesn't matter so much. If you can make the money on Thursday night that you're making on Saturday and Sunday now, the reason why you're making the money, Paul, is because of the audience.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you that it's not going to be bigger. I'm telling you it's going to be smaller because there's going to be a less number. You might get your bang on Thursday so you can make your precious money, but the people that are actually interested aren't going to have as many opportunities to watch.
If what you're saying is right, then obviously it's a bad thing.
No, I'm not saying that, because what we're both saying could happen. You're thinking of the home run on Thursday. You might get that.
That's what they're looking for.
Yeah, you might get it. You might get the home run on Thursday, but you've taken away chances for people to watch it all, and I think people want to watch it all. You've made it harder for them to do that.
Maybe.
You might get your home run on Thursday. I think once you'll get it, and then people will realize, wow, I made a special trip to watch this. And they'll realize, well, maybe that is a better thing to kind of come in and out on a Saturday or a Sunday.
No, I hear what you're saying. For the real diehard fan, you're making it more difficult.
It's a finite number of viewers, the NFL draft.
No matter when you put it on, I think you're going to get the people that you already get.
Yeah. I think if you put it on at midnight on a Wednesday, you're going to get the same amount of people to watch. That's just the way it is. You're just going to make it harder for them.
The league has to think about, okay, so now if we do this, we can add this into the revenue pool, and this can offset some of the things that the players are looking for otherwise. You know, they have to look at increasing this pool. That's good for the league, because that keeps, you know, if they're increasing the revenues that they bring in, they increase the amount of dollars that they can give to players. And then, you know, they can hand this to the players and say, look, you know, 60% or 59% of a bigger revenue pool is bigger. So you want to raise it to 61%. If we just raise the pool for you, the 59% is going to be a lot more than it was before in terms of actual
dollars. Is your 40%.
What 40%? Right. It's good for everybody. It's good for everybody. Right. You know, rather
so
than
the players aren't
it,
getting more, they're getting a less percentage.
No. Right now it's at 59 or 6. What is it now?
60.
Okay, so they want it to raise. If you keep it the same as it is today, but make the pool bigger, that's good for everybody.
Yeah.
Now the owners
are more good for you if you drop it a percentage point to the players.
I'm not saying dropping it.
Because you gain
it
on both ends.
Yeah, I'm not saying dropping it. I think it's 59 right now, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that's what it is right now.
I thought you were trying to sell
more money, but your percentage is actually smaller. I'm not saying I'm saying if rather than raising.
Okay.
Rather than raising.
Before anybody says this is, you know, it's the media thing again, they're complaining about where. this, I think Eric is right. I think this actually works out in our favor. Thursday and Friday are
work days. Us, yeah.
Thursday and Friday are already work days.
Right.
So it's not – I gain a weekend day.
But I have to coach Thursday night lacrosse.
Well, that'd be tough.
Again,
tough
see, there you go.
Well, but next year I won't. It's high school. It'll be
over. But your situation is what hundreds of thousands of other football fans are going to be in. They're going to be people our age who might have kids who have stuff to do on Thursday
or they
night.
Work, it's prime they have a part-time time. Job. I'm done by prime time.
But they might have a part-time job
you
where
are,
they work
but,
at night.
So I don't mind.
Well, if they get a part-time job, they'll work in the weekends too, probably.
Or maybe not.
I mean, you're talking about...
A kid's got a baseball
game. Yes, there
game.
Are some people, no matter what day of the week it is, won't be able to watch.
Right.
But I think you're maximizing an audience by having it on Thursday night prime time.
Plus, a lot of people like me go to bed.
But a lot of people who are football fans have kids who are playing sports at night during the week.
9 o'clock?
No, but by that time it could be half over.
Oh, no. It's prime
have you
time.
Ever been?
Prime time starts at 8.
I know when it starts, but it
okay.
There are 7 o'clock Little League and Pony League and Colt League games under the lights. You have a night game once every 2 weeks or whatever. So there very well could be at a Little League baseball field at 9 o'clock at night.
As there are... Youth sports on the weekend.
Exactly.
God knows.
Which means the raise is going to...
So no matter what you do, you know...
You're going to get the same amount of viewers.
But I think there's more viewers on TV primetime during the week than there are...
And you know what? There's more on Thursday. But, there's more options. You're right, there's more real shows for other people to watch instead of the draft.
But the office, you don't have to see when it's on because it's not live. You know, you can TiVo that and watch it after.
But the people that just stumble upon the draft and stop on a Saturday might not do that on Thursday because there's other options.
Maybe.
That's what we're saying. There's no question there's more people watching. The biggest thing I think is I think the teams will vote for it because I think Belichick would like to have a couple rounds reset because I think he thinks
the
he will do more research.
Yeah.
He's smarter and he will maximize his value.
Unless he, on the other hand, he could think the less time between the better for those who are smarter.
Now, I think he would like all the time he can get.
That's a good argument though. Yeah.
I think that's what he would look at is I'm smarter than everybody else.
Don't give them the time.
No. I have the time now to better maximize my advantage because
I
will use that time more wisely than everybody else.
As if it were a playoff game and he's got 2 weeks to prepare for an opponent.
Well, I think it's worth trying. I'd like to see. I mean,
there's no question there's more people watching TV on a Thursday night, Fred. I can't argue with you on that. There's more potential viewers on
all
Thursday
TV.
Night. Yes, all TV. I just think
there's also no arguing that there's more options.
My contention, it may be a naive one, but I contend that people that are interested in the NFL draft, there's a number of those people.
Yeah. Which, by the way,
and a very high percentage
season.
Of those watch on Saturday, and it's minimum
almost
every difference to me whenever
people,
it's on.
The people who aren't watching on Saturday, whether it was noon or 4 o'clock, aren't going to tune in because it's on Thursday night.
Yeah. Right.
For me personally, I'd like to see it happen because I'd rather work Thursday night and Friday night and have a pretty reasonably short day on Saturday and then at least have my weekend.
Me gusta.
So from a selfish personal standpoint, I'd like to see them do it.
Quick aside, based on the last email I think we had, Nolan Naraki reportedly, I didn't double check it, but had 15 exact hits in his mock draft.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Exact hits. Team, player,
how
slot.
Did the goose do? He's usually the guy that is most cheats. Accurate. How was he?
I didn't. We'll have to go back and look. I didn't see him, but I know
you didn't get the Patriots.
All the mock drafts that we did, you know, we did Mel Kiper, Pat Kerwin,
NFL Draft Scout,
Scouts Inc. or something,
Fox
right?
Sports.
Yeah, a bunch of different ones
we
like
do,
that.
We do five and then ours.
The worst one in there, I think, had five first round picks that weren't taken in the first round. So you're talking about 27 guys out of 32. That's pretty good.
In a bad draft for doing that.
In a tough
draft,
yeah.
I mean, I believe Schefter that says, the Redskins were going to take Maualuga, had a rock one up. So he's a guy that didn't end up in the first round.
He was one of the misses for most people, too. Eben Britton, I think, was one of the misses for most people.
Yep.
I can't think. There was another one that most people had, too, but I can't remember. But that's just an example of most people had 6, 7, 8, 9. Direct hits, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad, especially in a class like this that was, so, I mean, even Bill talked about how unpredictable it was.
It was 2 o'clock.
Kamani writes in, he says he hears we'll be hearing Julian Edelman's name a lot from November on. So another Julian Edelman fan. He also has a statement to make about Eric on Thursday. I'm a little busy at my office right now, so I can't do it today. So there's a statement by Kamani coming up about...
He's going to have a press briefing
on
Thursday.
That was a tease. I like it.
A statement is going to be made regarding Eric
Stearns?
Scalavino.
What, do you have any insight on this?
Nothing.
Nothing?
No. I have the restraining order, the digital restraining
order.
Now
you have a day and a half
him,
to talk him out of it, though. That's good.
No, I don't talk to him because we have the restraining order.
Oh.
Okay, so he has a statement coming out on Thursday. Dave from Connecticut, day two of the draft was much anticipated by me, but when that first trade was made by the Patriots, I thought my head would explode. But what should we expect? Did we really think Bill would make a pick? It's obvious this draft was not that great in the eyes of the Patriots as to us as fans. But gaining 2 second-round picks in next year's draft is good. It seems to me that the team was really not in love with any one player. Thus, they were drafting for depth, replacements for players whose contracts were up after the 09 season. That holds well for the team's future. But we as fans always like to hear the big-name prospect called by our team on day one.
Yep.
Michael Smith, along with John Clayton, both of ESPN, thought the Patriots had a great value draft. So who am I to argue with Bill Belichick and ESPN's football gurus? That's why Bill's coaching my favorite football team, and I'm driving this darn truck.
Wait a minute. Oh. When ESPN says Patriots had a great draft, we love ESPN. But when they say anything else, it's, they hate the Patriots.
Fred, my prediction that I made on Thursday came true. You asked me last week if I thought that a pick-for-player trade would happen, if I would guarantee that a pick-for-player trade would happen involving the Patriots, and it came true.
Yeah, that's true.
Good call.
John in Dallas says, I stand corrected. Edelman's completion stats were 52, 55, and 55. So once again, Paul was right.
Paul Perillo.
Once again?
Right again. Time?
Paul's right a lot.
That was the once.
Except when he argues with me.
That was the one time. Well, it's impossible to argue with you because you change your argument in the middle all the time.
Andrew from Craig, Colorado, or it might be Andrew Craig from Colorado. I'm not sure. Anyway, he says, are you surprised that they drafted no outside linebackers yet a long snapper?
Yes.
I am surprised that they drafted that they didn't draft any outside linebackers. I accept Bill's explanation because, as I stated earlier in this show, I'm a Kool-Aid sipper when it comes to the draft with Bill.
Did you see the quotes from Brad Childress saying they took Harvin because the Patriots were going to take him?
Really?
No.
Basically.
Yeah. He said, well, they had him in a private workout.
And, like, he said that he wow. I don't know if he got the feeling or Harvin told him that the Patriots had him in a private workout, but they told him, don't tell anyone that we had you in a private workout and blah, 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 back and forth. And the Patriots, the new receivers coach is from there, Minnesota, and they have a receivers coach now and something. Brad Childress is flat out nuts.
He's
Major
little,
dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's lost it.
Well, he should enjoy his last season in Minnesota.
You know
what's after this
you know,
year?
I hope they don't fire him because if they do, I'll worry about Bill's safety because he clearly has like those little check marks on the side with Bill. He's infatuated with Bill. Yeah. I mean, the whole Garrett Mills thing and stuff.
Yeah.
I would worry about that if I were Bill. Talk about restraining orders.
Trivia question. What was that guy's name that Bill claimed just to stick
Heron.
It to him?
David Heron.
I wouldn't have got
linebacker.
That. Chris? Druggy from Fall River?
Brian in Southern California, I'm so glad draft weekend is finally over for the following reasons.
One, current druggie.
No more putting in endless hours keeping up with draft info only to have the Patriots exclusively take players I've barely heard of starting in the late second round. Two, no more watching Ellis Hobbs give up an 8-yard cushion on 3rd and 4. Three, no more watching Mel Kiper and Todd McShay have some of the most forced, painful interactions in the history of live TV. Four, no more listening to Fred butcher the name Ray Maliuga. Five.
You had to do it because you just did.
Yep.
Five. No more listening to Andy butcher the name Twitter.
Oh, wait.
Well
perfect
done,
segue.
Doc. Well done.
Well done. Doc has
a word of the day
from Media Week breaking news.
Behave.
What? No, I'm not going to say anything bad. This is real. Subject. Study. Twitter audience has no return policy. A recent study has come out that over 60% of people who sign up to use the popular and tremendously discussed microblogging platform do not return to using it in the following month, according to new data by, I can't really say who, Nielsen Online. I ripped them earlier for not knowing what they do. Online, they're more accurate.
It's like ESPN, any port to storm. Mm.
So see?
Fad.
Oh, we'll see.
Not only is it a fad, it goes back to it.
Wait, stop. Let's stop for a second. I got to defend my guy.
Who's your guy?
Let's not use Twitter against Fred. Okay, because Fred has not been a champion of this whole wave.
He's gotten a little bit caught up in it. He likes to talk about it.
He's doing business
it.
As business is being done.
Business involves money being made. Where is money being made?
But it's not bad business as long as there's no money being
made. I heard a commercial today where in Rhode Island, Gem, all the plumbers and electricians. Mm-hmm. If you go to their Twitter thing, you can get like. Something off service or something. Now plumbers are Twittering? Well, that, what is going on with this world?
That's case, a multi-million dollar enterprise, didn't know that,
but how are they making – so are we. We're a multi-billion dollar enterprise. We're not making money. Neither are they.
Well, in case people didn't know,
Twitter stinks.
If you just woke up, the Patriots started Real Patriots on Twitter, and people signed up. And within 48 hours, by the time the draft was over, we had over 6,000 people following the Patriots. And they tweeted out the draft picks just as they were picked, as well as the trade details, which I thought was really helpful.
That was very helpful.
And you know, so now the question is, what do you do with it going forward? Andy doesn't think you can make money doing it. I think it's all about the brand. It's closing the connection between the fan and the team. That's what fans are looking for. So if the Patriots use this correctly, and maybe once a day or a couple times a day, a player sends out a message to the fans, or, you know, we can tell people where Matt Light's going to be for an appearance. So anything you can do to close the connection between the fan and the team is appreciated. And Twitter is a good tool for that.
But why
now, will it last? I don't know. It could be a fad.
That's the only reason I'm siding with Freddie. That's,
but it's
he's
here
doing
now.
It because it's popular right now. He's just trying to enhance it for the for
I mean, the that the internet apparently is going to stick around. you know, so we might as well embrace
but
it.
But why couldn't
we
have a box at the top of Patriots.com where all those things you just said happened, and oh, by the way, we collect the hits to our site and then raise our ads.
Well, and you want to do that, and Twitter is one way to maybe
drive. But we've never announced trades and draft picks early on Patriots.com.
No, we haven't. Maybe we should have. You know, but Twitter is more immediate.
But that's my point. Why is everybody who ignored and wasn't willing to work with the internet and blogging now jumping on board with Twitter?
Every time we come up with a new sponsor and the sponsor wants exclusive content, I'm yelling, well, if we can do exclusive content, why haven't we done it already?
Right.
You know, if we can get private interviews with Tom Brady, we should have been doing it on our website.
Yeah. But now we're putting very valuable information on a vehicle that in no way do I see a light at the end of the tunnel that has a dollar sign hanging from
it. I think the dollar sign right now is it's the Patriots brand. It's getting people interested. You know, you're out working in the garden and all of a sudden you get a Twitter thing because you set it up and you know it's just keeping us in the forefront of people's minds. That's valuable. That's valuable because we're competing with a lot of things that people can be thinking about otherwise.
It would have to
be not sold.
I think what needs to be worked out, though, is
over 6,000 people really, from the response we've gotten, really appreciated what we did.
They
didn't have to be on Patriots.com.
I think 1 million people would have enjoyed it if you told them you will know the draft picks and trades ahead of time on Patriots.com.
Maybe.
1 million as compared to 6,000.
Twitter could have
been. And then those 1 million would have been parlayed into ads via Toyota and all our other sponsors as you raise their rates. And directly, we have income from that valuable commodity that is early information.
You're preaching to the choir here because I think that if you've got stuff that can, you know, create a crowd, put it on your main thing where the crowd should be.
I feel like what we did this weekend was we had some valuable antique worth potentially millions, and instead of going on eBay and opening up to the whole world or going to Sotheby's, we put it out in front of our house with a for sale sign on it. A guy drove up and we gave it to him for like $50.
Well, judging from the numbers we got on the web, I don't think that we gave anyone an excuse not to come to our website.
But more would have come had they known picks early.
We got more than double the amount of traffic than we did last year.
That's just because we're great.
And who knows? Maybe Twitter helped say, oh, I got to go find out about this guy, and then they came
but
to the site.
I think Twitter would have been a great appendage to what Andy said.
It's always about appendages with him.
Announce it on the site, on our site, and then if you happen to be out in the yard or at the mall
Twitter
or somewhere
that
else,
too.
Twitter it after that.
There's more value in our site than
Twitter.
There's
more value in getting people to come straight to that. Look what the Chargers did. The Chargers had the webcam on their website. When they'd make the pick in the war room, they'd hold up the sign in front of the webcam. So you're watching their site, seeing for the first time.
That's a great thing.
And that even beats Twitter, because on Twitter you have to type in the name of the pick. This way, they're just holding it up live. Have you heard anything NFL-wide, by the way?
No, not yet.
Well, that's the other thing.
They said they were going
to
address
it. We might have missed our 1 year to be able to do this before they ban any announcements early of trades and draft picks.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW Progress. We're probably going to get yelled at because we didn't talk draft picks in the last 10 minutes. But that's all right. We have Thursday to continue.
We didn't screw off. I mean, this was as serious a show as we've ever had.
We have Thursday to continue to talk about this, the post-draft aftermath. That's when the rookie camp begins. We're going to have a lot of stuff on Patriots.com coming up, all about the rookie minicamp. So you're going to want to stick with us, be logged on from Thursday. So we will see you noon Thursday.